When was your last checkup? No, not you. Although that's important, too. But when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
Hi, kids. Him and her on the radio back in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple weeks down in Panama City Beach, Florida, broadcasting from our southern location.
You know, it's all a blur to me now because it was so dang hot.
It was.
I think everything I did, I was like a limp noodle. It was hot and, oh, yes, it was humid, too. And today, it's absolutely glorious in Chicago.
Yeah.
On our way into the station, it was 73 degrees. There was a little breeze and the skies are clear. And, oh, I hope you all are out enjoying it with your radio.
But we apologize when we got back. We brought the 110 degree heat index temperatures with us, sadly.
For the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, gosh. Yeah, that was just last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's all a blur.
I know.
Speaking of all a blur, who the heck is that guy that I'm seeing on the newsroom camera? Yeah. We haven't seen
Am
him
I
since.
Am I blurry?
You know what? Steve Teddy Ruxton.
Yes.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Because you are our Teddy Ruxton.
Teddy Ruxton.
Oh, my gosh. We last worked with you. It was in the 1900s,
yes,
Steve.
Yes,
the
late
1850s.
1900s. That's my favorite new T-shirt thing. Be good to me. I'm from the 1900s.
Yeah.
You know, be gentle. Well, how are you, Steve Ruxton?
I am doing outstanding because
good.
I just had a crisp, freshly baked, gluten-free chocolate chip cookie given to me by Johnny Putnam. And I have a question.
Yes.
We all know that Steve has had challenges with celiac disease, and
right.
You make all these gluten-free dishes and treats.
Mm-hmm.
This was like one of the best cookies I've ever had.
Oh.
Why would anybody want to eat wheat?
Thank you.
Gluten.
Wow.
If they taste like this.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
And you wouldn't believe the times when we've had people over to the house and Johnny serves dinner.
The whole meal.
And some of them don't know till after the meal you've just eaten a gluten-free meal and they're going back for seconds and thirds.
Yeah.
This is why I keep nagging her to do her gluten-free cookbook.
Well, what are your favorite dishes that are not desserts? Like a main course.
The barbecue ribs are pretty good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we did, right? And Bob's in studio with us. Big plug Bob, our
yes.
engineer.
I'll definitely vote for the ribs.
Yeah,
the
that was fun.
Ribs done in the crock pot.
Yes, yes. In fact, if you have a hankering for ribs, you can buy one slab, get two more for free at your friendly local grocery store. You have to check out our blog, and you have to make them the way I pointed out. They are unbelievable. Fall off the bone.
No, they're unbelieving believable.
They're unbelieving believable.
Excuse my lack of knowledge, but why would ribs have gluten?
Well, it's the sauce. There are a lot of barbecue sauces that, in fact, have wheat to thicken the barbecue sauce.
Got it.
You wouldn't believe the stuff that has gluten. Depending on the level of sensitivity, sometimes I've known people that have to change their shaving cream.
Wow, really?
Or their shampoos because
yeah. Toothpaste
comes through the skin.
Mm.
Look on the ingredients, and one of the first ingredients is wheat. A lot of products use it as a thickener.
Huh?
In fact, you don't want, if you're trying to stay away from gluten, you don't want fat-free cottage cheese or sour cream because to give you that taste sensation in your mouth, they will use wheat to thicken it.
To beefen it up.
So you have to use the full fat. We're all about the full fat.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. But I'm glad you like the cookies because some people like a soft
wonderful.
Chocolate chip cookie. We like a snappy one.
We like a
one.
Snappy cookie.
Me
yeah,
too.
It has to snap when you
me
bite
too.
Into it.
That'd be a great group name, the Snappy
Cookies. Yes.
Gluten-free.
That's right. Well, Jonathan's on the other side of the glass, and I told him the story of our next-door neighbor, Omar.
Yes.
And Steve, you don't know this story. Omar at six.
That is Steve Rexon. Yes. Doesn't know the story.
Well, I'm going to call him Teddy since you're Steve too. So, 6 years old, and we were having a little fire pit outside, and I made the chocolate chip cookies. And again, Omar at six, going on 46, proved that in fact he is a very old soul. He picked up his chocolate chip cookie, and it was the size. He held it up to show that he could hide behind it. I mean, that's how big it was.
It was about three times the size of the chocolate chip cookie that you had, Steve.
Right. So, because I made it for kids. I knew that they would have a good time. So he holds it up, and he's hiding behind it. And then he looks at Steve, and pointing with a chocolate chip cookie, he says, "Sir, you are a lucky man." You are a lucky man. And then after we entertained all night long and he stood in the middle and did a stand-up comedy routine.
He did. And he, as he was getting ready to leave,
he turned around.
Before he left, he turned around and he came over and he said, "Remember, you, sir, are a
lucky
man." No argument from this corner.
So Steve will never live that down. I frequently remind him that a six-year-old recognized that he was a lucky man.
But he was the oldest six-year-old we've ever known. In fact, at one point in the conversation, he was telling us how he wakes up in the morning and he's creaky. Because we were kidding. We said, you know, there's a 40-year-old hiding in your bed. And he said, there is.
Yes.
He said, I wake up and
I'm tired when I wake up because I play basketball and I ache all over. Oh, my gosh. Kids, out of the mouth of babes. Somebody should do a TV show, right? Kids say the darndest things.
What a concept.
I know. It would, you know, I wonder how kids would be today if they did that show. What do you think? I think it would be, I don't know.
They would be ignoring the cameras because they'd be staring at their phones.
Yes, sadly.
See the top of their head.
That's right. Looking down at their phone, looking for answers. And I love kids, so please understand not being disparaging toward kids.
Jonathan, you had a snappy cookie?
I had a delicious snappy cookie. I am gluten-free cookie filled right now.
Well, there are plenty more. And Bob got a treat tonight.
I did, thank you.
Just for Bob, he had the gluten in our house. I went to another apartment to make your brownies, Sissy.
Well, thank you. Thank you for going out of your way.
No, actually, I went downstairs to the other apartment where if I'm going to touch the evil gluten, then it could be in that apartment. So,
did you have to wear gloves?
Oh, I bathed afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I took a shower.
Right. See,
That's why I saw you in that hazmat suit.
Yeah, that's right. Zip-up hazmat suit. Well, it was cheesecake brownies for Bob, who has to stay away from sugar, right?
That'd be another great group name.
The Cheesecake Brownies. And they would be all guys.
Yes.
Right, all white guys. Even better.
From New Orleans.
From New Orleans, the cheesecake brownies. All right, we're starting on the right foot here. We got a full show tonight. That means we're sticking around till 2 o'clock in the morning.
And we will run down the index of who's going to be on that full show after we take a break on WGN. Speaking of... Hello? Hello? Testing 1-2 voice.
Puberty is hell.
It is. Speaking of C. Crane... in just a few minutes, we're going to get the chance to talk with the woman who is now the CEO of C. Crane. And by the way, before anybody says, oh, the sales department wanted it. No, this was all right. We're tickled that C. Crane sponsors. Mm-hmm. Even if they weren't sponsors, we love their products. And we have a ton of C. Crane radios that we have purchased with our own money. Mm-hmm. We have some here in Chicago, some in Florida. We've given them as gifts to people. They're great products. And we've never had the chance to talk to the C. Crane CEO, Jessica Crowdy. And she has some interesting stories. I've been reading some of her blogs on the C. Crane website. So we're going to talk with her in a few minutes. And speaking of interesting women.
Oh, thank you. I like the way you paused for that.
I don't know how she has flown under our radar.
I know, for all these years. A Chicagoan.
Denise LaGrassa is going to be in studio with us.
She's an amazing blues singer.
Wow.
Where has she been?
Her new album is just extraordinary. She's going to be joining us in the studio in a little while.
I like you, we listened to her music and I said, wait a minute, she's not a newbie. She's from Chicago. Yeah. How did this happen? We know some of the same people. So I'm tickled. She was in Madison for a show this afternoon.
And I'm going to have to share...
Which is a long drive from Madison.
I'm going to have to share the quote from one of our listeners. They wrote on our blog, just saw Denise at the La Fête de Marquette Festival in Madison. Sweet baby Jesus, they were hot. I love that.
She will love that, too.
She needs to put that on her next album.
Sweet baby Jesus, she was hot.
And there's a ton of computery stuff that we need to talk about this week. Dr. Patrick Crispin is going to join us, and we will explain what's going on with Meta.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you post Instagram photos? Can somebody else use them or not? And blah, 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 blah. So
there's a lot to talk about, including he's going to tell you how to check to see if your own personal email address is part of a June 2026 big deal hacking that occurred. Yeah. And you can find out if you're part of it, and he'll explain all of that to you. A listener at 608 area code said, Johnny, could you please play some Bonnie Tyler tonight?
We have a ton of Bonnie Tyler music that we have loaded up, because I was just so surprised. Bonnie Tyler was, she just went in the hospital within the past month.
Yeah. And came out of the hospital, too.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a big surprise. But, oh, my gosh, the accolades, the tributes are just amazing.
What a talent.
I was actually moved to tears when Rod Stewart, a video came across Rod Stewart, had just heard that she'd passed away. And they were friends. And he started doing an a cappella version of It's a Heartache. And it was so heartfelt. And
there's a new song that she just recorded, was just released within about the past 6 months, and it has to do with homeless people.
Mm.
And she's joined by, I believe it's the Dallas Street Choir.
Wow.
We'll play a little bit of that later. You forget how many hits she had, and over in Europe... In some countries in Europe, she was as big as Tina Turner.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 75 years old, too, when she passed away. Music's going on this weekend. Quite a bit of music. Taste of Chicago Common was there last night. Then there's that little country music thing that's happening. And
in the parking lot of the United Center.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't you know it's hot? At least it was a reasonable temperature today.
Well, you know, the thing they don't talk about is, you know what the parking's like for that?
Yeah. Oh, this is the smoke out.
Yeah.
Where do they park?
Is this like the 12th annual smoke out or something
like
that?
Well, they only use one of the lots, but people were saying that some of the parking spots were going for like $120
each. No.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Then you're going to put on your cowboy boots and your hat.
That's required.
Go out there and sweat. Oh, Luke Bryan's going to be there tomorrow, right? No, Blake Shelton.
Yeah, Blake Shelton tomorrow.
Yeah.
What you're thinking of is it was just announced that Luke Bryan is going to be one of the headline acts at the... Gulf Coast Jam next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, you know those.
Which goes on just about a mile from our little yellow house.
We could just sit on our front porch and listen to the music and not take out a loan. Because quite seriously, you may recall, I was having a field day with this advertisement that came out for this year's Gulf Coast Jam. In fine print at the bottom of the ad, it said, call this number for financial assistance to buy your ticket.
So how much room do you have in front of the house? Like, could you park cars on the lot?
Yeah, it's kind of crossed my mind.
Yeah, you know, you put your car someplace else, and you know.
Well, now this was years ago, but during one of it wasn't this festival, but it was a country music festival, and we sat on our porch, and I had a little tape recorder, and we have a very clear recording of Charlie Daniels.
That's how close it was. You know, yes. Oh, man. And the important thing is we have to sit in our rocking chairs and drink our own adult beverages. If you go to the events, you can't take water in with you. You can't take an umbrella to protect you from the sun. Kind of important things.
I'm sorry. The thing that probably stands out to me is you also had indoor plumbing.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
No porta potties on our land.
Forget that.
Right. Well, now you drove through Taste of Chicago traffic.
Yeah, two days in a row.
Was that bad news?
Since they closed down Columbus, the only thing you can use is the drive to get drive to get north and south.
So you're driving right through the Taste.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I'm sorry, the crowds aren't there, but it's the Taste after all. It's not like Lollapalooza or something.
But it should be in July.
Yeah.
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 But we remember the days when we were in the Tribune Tower and the Taste was on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
And we just walked out of Michigan Avenue. Yeah. And that was really
That was
neat.
The early days when Mayor Byrne started the Taste.
I liked that.
And
that was
good. It moved from Michigan Avenue to Navy Pier, right?
Yeah. Yes, but didn't we have Chicago Fest at the same time?
Yeah.
So we had two different things. Mm-hmm. So you had your music with Chicago Fest at the pier, and then you had Taste of Chicago on Michigan Avenue. Well, here we are reminiscing like a bunch of old dudes. Yeah, back in the day when we had Taste of Chicago, and a hot dog cost you a nickel. Not really. Mm. Oh, we're going to talk about food tonight because, after all, it's our show.
Well, yeah.
And state fairs have announced the weird food that they're going to be selling this year, so we'll have to cover that. We got so much to talk about. Baseball, we've been baseballing all weekend. In fact,
And we may have to revisit particular highlight from them Sox.
That's right. So we got a lot coming up. You better stay with us. We'll do our shout-outs a little bit later on, but we're going to be talking to the CEO of C. Crane after our news update here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And if you've been with us for more than a minute or two, you know that we're huge fans of the C. Crane radios. We have tons of them here in Chicago and Florida, and we just... in fact, I'm trying to think of how long we've been fans of C. Crane radios, even before they became a sponsor.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. I think that started when you got a gift of a radio that you were interested in, and then you fell in love with a catalog. So we got a lot to talk about with the CEO of the C. Crane Company. Jessica Crotty joins us now. How are you tonight, Jessica?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. Everyone here at C. Crane appreciates your support over the years.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Well, let's go back. So I'm quite serious. I bought Steve a radio from the C. Crane Company back in the early days. So it was the early 90s, right? Would that be the early, early days of C. Crane?
That would have been, 98 is when we came out with our first radio, mm-hmm. but prior to that, we carried other brands of radio, mm-hmm. so we've been in business since 83, mm-hmm. and so, but the very first, the CC radio, our flagship, the very first one was in 98.
Oh my gosh, the CC radio, because doing an overnight show, it was a godsend to us because people, with the signal of this 50,000-watt radio station, people would say, I get you, but when the seasons change, I kind of lose you. And then the radio came along and we went, yes, this gives you some hope.
Well,
and
we've told this story before, but you may not have heard it. We were fortunate to have a long-time friendship with Les Paul. And Les lived in Mahwah, New Jersey. And he used to like to listen to us, but he could only hear us as he would be driving back home from his gig at the Club Iridium in New York. He could only hear us on his car radio. So we got him a C. Crane radio. We sent it to him. He loved it, and he had to take it apart to see what made it as good as it is.
As an inventor, he said, there's a secret here. I've got to learn that secret. So thank you, C. Crane. Yes.
Yeah. Gosh, the Iridium, man, that takes me back. I went to a Talkers. One of the Talkers was in New York, mm-hmm. and we went to the Iridium after to the jazz club, and I apparently, two nights before we were there, Les Paul had been there.
How funny.
And then also Paul McCartney had made a surprise appearance.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had no idea. You know, we're just going to this really cool place that everybody says you should go. And I was really young. I was starstruck and New York struck and all the things.
Yeah.
But man, that was that was a very cool experience.
So
I have to ask you, obviously we're radio geeks, not just because we're in radio, but we've always been radio geeks. And as a kid, I grew up DXing, listening to, I first heard Wolfman Jack from the south side of Chicago when he was broadcasting on the station that was across the border in Mexico. So I've always been interested in radio and long-distance radio, but how did you get involved? Because from reading your blogs on the Sea Crane website, you're kind of passionate about this, aren't you?
I am, yes. So I got involved. I really did not grow up listening to radio like that. I was younger, and we listened to like music radio and had the mixtapes and that kind of.
Right.
So when I got to Sea Crane in my early 20s, I had never really even paid attention to AM. And then, of course, once you're here...
What? Wait a minute. Hold it. Okay, yeah. We may have to terminate this interview. You never paid attention to AM?
We really didn't.
What?
Well, every market isn't like Chicago, so, yeah.
It wasn't. We were in Northern California, and you couldn't really get any signals. You know, there was a couple country stations, and it was mostly music, and we just didn't. All the music was on FM, but when I came to Sea Crane, you know, here's this whole other world of nightlife and radio and commentary and learning. And it was just like an eye-opening experience. And it was really funny because they were so good at training us and teaching us about it. And we had so many mentors here that really explained not the inner workings, but also the community of radio, like how you could be on air for so long. And I've been fortunate to meet so many people along the way that really, I feel like, just are so talented at their craft and being able to have conversation and invite people in. And so, yeah, it was just I've become passionate over the years, especially talking to the customers, because they really, really, it means so much to them to be able to have that connection and to listen and create that community. And so us being able to be a part of that solution for them a lot of the time is just really important. It's such a unique calling, I guess.
Well, what department did you start in at the company?
Yeah, customer service.
So you were hands-on.
Customer service for quite a while. And then Art was on air, Art Bell, and he was growing. And so we were exponentially growing with him. And they needed some help in IT. And so I was like, well, I'm a smart girl. I think I could help out. And if not, you guys can hire somebody. You know, you're not out anything. And maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. And so then I was in IT and customer service. And then I always still had a sales and marketing background. I was really just interested and I enjoyed people. And I enjoy the customer side, and so I always was still a part of that, and then was able to help through IT with the website and with customer service and processes. And yeah, we just I've been in almost every department except for HR. Try to stay out of that as much as I can, except like when I have no other choice. Yeah. I've got really good people that do that, but yeah, so a little bit of everything, even shipping. You know, Sea Crane was great over the years working with a lot of us around schedules and kids and modifying, so letting us work in other areas so that we could coach our kids' soccer teams or raise, you know, kids on different daycare schedules. And so I was really fortunate to have those opportunities and be able, again, to really learn the business. And now I'm more in the product side, which is new for me.
Yeah, but you also have three letters behind your name. You are the CEO.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations. Yeah. That is,
thank you.
That's an awesome career. The fact that you were hands-on from, as the company was growing, you were growing in the company.
I was. Yeah, I really have like so many interesting stories about that. Like just, Yeah, because you go, you know, a lot of technology changed.
Sure, like, of you course. Know. Because you were doing this before we had the internet, because I know the internet changed our world on the radio, doing it all-night radio. You know, suddenly we could say, you know what, there's a new story in Jerusalem, because this actually happened to us, and we looked at our screen, and there was a Chicagoan in Jerusalem that says, I am there at this bombing that had just occurred.
So I immediately on the talkback, I told our producer, I'm going to try and get his email, see if you can call him, and he was able to do that. So we were able to get an on the scene report from what was going on, thanks to the internet.
Thanks to the internet. Yeah. So it had to change your world too, because then people said, well, you know what, I will just listen to my favorite station on my computer, and now we say on our phone. So how did C. Crane plan to make that transition as technology was changing?
Yeah, so we were early to that, I feel like, because even when there was still dial-up, we had like a product. I can't even remember the name exactly, but it was like a video conferencing. But, you know, you had to like have computer experience in order to do it. And so I feel like we've always been kind of early adopters to a lot of things, of trying. Mm-hmm. And so internet radio, I don't even remember when the first one came out. It wasn't ours, but we carried one. I think it was a Revo, I think, was our first one. Actually, it might have been Acoustic Energy, and got our feet wet with that radio and the internet radio. And then people didn't understand it back then, you know, because not everybody had broadband. Most people didn't.
Right.
And so it took a long time, honestly, for that to really become what it is now. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it kind of had a shorter window than it could have, because the phones came out the way they did and smart speakers. And so we're finding, though, a resurgence in it in some ways, where people don't want to be on a screen and they don't want to be tracked all the time, and they don't want a microphone listening to them.
Right.
And I feel like that's the benefit of our internet radios, or that they don't have those things and they're easy. So it's not like you have to go to every app and download and enter all your information. You know, it's all aggregated for you, so it's more familiar.
Yeah. I wish you had video, because we're sitting here shaking our heads going, yes.
I want to hold you on this, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to kind of expand on that. That's kind of a two-sided story, and I want to get into that in a couple minutes. So stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking about radio with the CEO of the C. Crane Company, Jessica Crotty. And Jessica, I would like to go back to where we left off. You were talking about the internet and internet radio possibilities. But isn't the flip side of that something that we've been kind of haranguing about for a long time? As good, as valuable as internet technology is, satellites go out, power goes down. In an emergency, I want a good old-fashioned AM/FM, hopefully solar or wind-up radio.
100%. Absolutely. We actually have a conversation. We went to a disasters expo in March in Miami, and we talked with a lot of people that were first responders and people that were in responsible for disaster preparedness in HOAs and cities. And that's something that came up over and over again, is that that's the only thing that works. You know, we've talked to people in LA after the fires, Maui after the fires. We've talked to people Hurricane Helene, you know, the flooding that was not that long ago. And radio should be, in our opinion, and in some of our customers that email regularly, something that should be like a fire extinguisher or a fire alarm. You know, it's just like part of what you have in your home. That's a safety function in addition to something that you listen to, but it actually has, you know, more purpose than just that. And so I think, too, from an investment standpoint, when you think about what you can spend your money on these days, like, that's a pretty low investment for the security that it provides.
Well, we have to share as our friend Paul Harvey used to say, partly personal story. that happened to one of Johnny's closest girlfriends out in California during the fires.
She was surrounded by wildfires, and this was she lives in Santa Rosa, so this was all around San Francisco, and she couldn't get out. So they were just busy pouring water on their roof and had no internet, no phone service. But she had her solar radio, her Sea Crane solar radio in the garage. They're in California. Even though it was, there were fires, they had sunshine. She could crank it up, and she could get from the San Francisco radio station. She could get emergency information. The only way she had a lifeline to the outside world.
And there were neighbors that came over to her house because they didn't have access to this information.
Yeah.
We hear that all the time. I mean, I can't tell you the number of stories. I just was on an interview with Thomas Witherspoon, who was through the Helene hurricane, and it was devastating. In their case, it was months that they... neighbors didn't have power and didn't have services, and he has a lot because he's a radio lover, and so he's kind of like what you guys are saying, like, well, you know, maybe I'm one of everything, and you know, he loaned them out to his neighbors for that reason, because so many people don't. I think people think, oh, I'll get one, and then they just never get around to it. Or we even have people ask, like, why would I need a radio? Because I think they really think their cell phone is going to work, and we've seen it where your cell phone might work in some circumstances, like maybe you have internet in some areas, but what happens is the text messages don't go through, or only certain kinds of text messages go through, and then it gets really crowded. And the information piece is, I think, the most important from what we've heard, is where it's localized, because national news will report, this is what's happening, and sometimes, and from what we've understood from people at these emergencies, is they're not accurately reporting what's happening because they're not there.
Right.
And so, like, people are worried about things happening that aren't happening. They're not sure where to get help. They don't know where shelters are and who's helping with food and water and FEMA applications and, you know, just all the checkpoints that you would need to feel like, oh, this isn't as bad as it is.
It's not the end of the world.
It's terrible. But, you know, there's people out here helping, and now I have a resource. I can't stress enough how important. And I think especially, you know, I feel like my kids are younger, and so helping them understand the value has been kind of a hurdle because they just didn't grow up with that kind of technology.
Right.
You know, they've always had a cell phone. They've always had streaming services, and so I think that's what we see a lot right now is people giving gifts to their grandkids or their kids because they're like, no, you really are going to need this thing when this happens, because it's not a matter of if, you know, it's a matter of when for all of us.
Yeah. Use it as a paperweight for the time being. But and let me add, you're talking about cell service. The Boston Marathon was a classic example of they shut down cell service for fear that use of a cell phone could cause another bombing to occur. And that was an eye-opener for people to say, wait a minute, you mean I don't have my phone available to me? So they had to go, to, in that case, to radio and television. But the cell phone was not the lifeline they thought it was.
Yeah.
So we're I know we're singing the same song. We're kind of preaching to the choir. But it's important that we say this stuff because people need to be reminded that, you know what, if you're given it as a gift, tell people they can use it as a paperweight. But in the event they need it, it'll be there.
Well, but I have to share, speaking of giving it as a gift, our grandson, who lives in California, is an absolute airplane geek. If there is a plane flying over, he will be able to look up, tell you what company it is, what kind of plane it is. So,
at 10 years old.
For his birthday a couple years ago, we got him the CC Skywave radio.
Oh.
He goes to LAX and he listens to the communication between the tower and the planes as they're coming in and taking off.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
So thank you for that, because it was the best gift. And I don't think he believed when we said, now this is going to let you hear them talking. What? And so that's the Saturday night thing. They actually go to LAX, and he's got his headphones on, and
literally
he's listening.
Literally every week.
Every Saturday night.
That's hilarious.
Isn't
I love
that cool?
It.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so great. But, yeah, way better than being on a screen.
Yes, yes. But you said you went to a disaster conference in Miami. That must be a fun group. Wow.
It was. It was really interesting. You know, we were there to learn and see, you know, what we could do to be of service again and kind of expand the footprint for emergency radios and what does that look like and what do people need. And we just had a lot of information about how involved. Like, I didn't know that a lot of the ham radio community is involved in when there's an emergency.
Yes.
A lot of times a hospital has a ham radio station because that's how they coordinate getting people in and out. And, you know, the network then is, like, dispatched. And I was like, of course, it makes sense once they tell you that, but you don't realize that that's what's taking place.
Yeah.
And they told the funniest story that one of them thought, oh, technology, right? We don't need this anymore. And then they let that person go and, like, we're like, oh, we don't need you anymore. And then emergency happened, and they were literally, they didn't have records of, because it wasn't really an employee, it's an, you know, it's a volunteer.
Oh.
And so there was a plaque on the wall that had his call letters and his name, and they were able to track him down by that to get him to come back because they needed. And they're like, now they're installing it in some of their other hospitals because they were like, yeah, no, it actually, you have to. Like,
yeah, learning by fire. Yeah.
I'm going to ask if you can hold that thought. Can you hang with us for a couple minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, we got a break for news, and we're going to pick up on ham radio when we come back with the two hams you're listening to right now.
But news is next, and then back with Jessica Crotty from the C. Crane Company here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's why God made the radio. That's the Beach Boys. That was written by Chicago's own
Jim
Peterik of the Ides of March.
Yeah.
I believe the story is that he was they were out to dinner or something, and he was talking with Brian Wilson, and they were talking about some of the stuff that they used to listen to, and somebody said that that's why God made the radio. And Jim, always having a notepad, said, that's a song!
Yep. I love it, too. We are talking about radio. We are talking with the CEO of the C. Crane Company, Northern California mom-and-pop company, been around for a few decades, made some changes over the years. They are your go-to when you're looking for a radio. We've touched on the solar radio. We've talked about the radio where you can listen to the tower, the emergency radios.
And we were just talking about ham radio, and I have to confess, Jessica, we have become addicted to listening to on Tuesday and Thursday nights in the Chicago area. There is a meeting of the ham group, and we will go to the ham channel on the CC Radio 3. And it's fun to listen. This past Thursday, we were hearing people who were calling from
Wisconsin,
from Michigan. And a couple weeks ago, we heard somebody calling from Japan and checking in with this group that was located just in the northern suburbs of Chicago. It is so much fun to listen to that.
Thank you for the ham band on our CC radio.
I just love that. Yes, that's another one, too, in emergencies where, you know, you can listen in where nobody else is going to get that information unless they're a ham radio operator. During Sacramento when they were having that dam crisis, you know, with at the lake there. And we actually sent some to one of the local radio stations and some of the local people because they had no way to listen to some of what was going on without that. And so we find that's such a unique thing, but it's really fun. Sometimes, too, it'll come on and I'll be here in the office and I'll have it just kind of sitting there listening. And then, the chatter will start up. And it's just an interesting thing. It's almost like eavesdropping something.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
Jessica, I'm going to sneak in some questions that people are texting in. They've got some good questions. In fact, a lot of our listeners are saying, thank you so much, C. Crane, for making your radios available to us. A couple of people said, thank you for making them reasonably priced. I'm going to back up one listener who loves your catalog because, let me tell you, that's Steve's favorite reading when he gets a C. Crane catalog.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I am the one who sits and reads the catalog from cover to cover.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
I do too, because it keeps him busy and gets the Secret catalog. A listener says, can you tell me if the Sangene radio that I got from C. Crane was one of the first radios that C. Crane carried?
Yes. Yeah, so it was. It was. We did it in conjunction with Sangene, the very first one. And so, yes, he's got an original.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's still working. That's pretty cool, too.
There's another text from a 708 area code. Says, according to the Sea Crane website, the EP Pro radio won't be available until mid-August. What new features, if any, will this radio have?
Good question.
Yeah, so it won't have anything new. We've just been selling out, and supply chain challenges with the world the way it is make it more and more challenging to get things as timely as we would like. And so one thing I can say, if there's something you're looking at and you really want it, now is the time, because it's just things have been selling out. I think people feel an urgency with everything that's going on in the world right now to be prepared. And so we find that we're just not as able to keep things in stock as we were, and being able to ramp up has been more challenging just with supply chain.
Does C. Crane have a goal of eventually being able to make your product here in this country?
We do. We do. We actually are in progress on the logistics of that. We're working with a person here in the U.S. now that actually has manufactured, and just trying to see what exactly will that take. And probably it won't be this year. We're hoping maybe next year, if we can get all our ducks in a row. I just don't know. It's probably going to be kind of small runs and a little pricier because it is in the U.S. But we're looking at all the functionality that we can add and making it really something different. So that it'll be not something that you could get anywhere else.
And I think I'm probably going to state the obvious, but you would want to put that in your commercials, because that means a lot to folks when they find out that the product is made in this country.
Yeah, and there is very little that you can find that's electronics that's made. And even ours would still require imported parts on some level, because they're just not here. But it's been a learning experience that has for sure, just even what you can do and how it works. And this next year, I'm hoping that we'll be able to make that dream actually come true, because it's been a long one.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Well, can we book you in advance? If that happens, will you come on our show and make that announcement?
Absolutely.
I think that is so cool.
I would love to.
Speaking of being on our show, this has nothing to do with radio. But do you ever get to Chicago? The reason I'm asking, during the newscast, we were thinking, oh, it's a shame Jessica isn't here, because you look outside of our window and we're overlooking this wonderful fireworks display that happens every weekend
every
on
Saturday.
Navy Pier.
Yeah.
It is just gorgeous.
Goodness. I haven't been in a while. We had a call center that we worked with that was in Chicago. And so I went out, and that was my first time staying. I've been through it a few times through the airports, but I hadn't stayed, and got to just briefly. It was very quick.
Oh, well, anytime you happen to be here, you got an open door. Please stop in.
Awesome.
Now, I want to sneak in some good questions here. A listener says, Jessica, do the Sea Crane radios have a rubberized coating on the case like the Grundig radio has? I ask that because the rubberized coating over time turns sticky, and it makes the radio unpleasant to handle. So she's listening from Honolulu tonight.
Love that.
And she says, I want to get a Sea Crane radio for AM, FM, shortwave, and HF someday soon. So rubberized coating, is it on them?
So none of the shortwave radios currently have a rubberized coating. We do have a couple of products that have. So the solar radio has rubberized-ish, and then so does the CC Pocket. But we actually experienced that same thing, where they would get sticky over time.
Yeah.
And so we've worked really hard with our manufacturers to find the right mix so that it doesn't do that as easily. The one thing that you have to pay attention to in order to keep it over time is A, what you use to clean it. So making sure you're not using stuff that's like, one of the things I think that's worse is stuff that's like really acidic and, eats away at the protective barrier.
The coating,
and then also sitting it in the sun that's too hot. So like if you're putting it in your car dash or something like that, the temperature that gets, it's so much hotter than outside.
That can
actually cause the chemicals to react in a way that creates kind of that tackiness.
Mushy. Mm-hmm.
That was actually part of the reason the solar radio is the lighter color, is because you are going to be putting it in the sun, and the black obviously absorbs more heat.
And so
the light doesn't. And so that was actually a conscious choice on our part.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cute. I was like, yeah, I love this. It's cute. A listener, here's a really good question from 708 area code. This is Dave from Chicago. Are sea cranes accessible to set up for the blind?
Oh, so that's a great question. So some of them are more than others. The internet radio, not as much right now. We are working on that on a future version. Hopefully we'll be able to do that better. But most of our other radios have actually audio instructions, and we also have beeps, and the buttons are placed in a way where you can like stick a, you know, a clear plastic button on some to orientate yourself. That was actually one of my very first assignments, was creating audio instructions way, way back for one of Sanjian's radios, the 909. And so I learned a lot about how we can, you know, do that better. And we've done it better, I think, over the years of providing reference points with beeps and buttons and placement so that it's easier to use. But almost all of them have audio instructions except for the Wi-Fi.
We've got a couple more great questions coming. We're talking with Jessica Crote. We're going to take a quick break and come back and squeeze these questions in for Jessica. So stay with us right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Jessica Crote, the CEO of Sea Crane Company. And Jessica, one of our texters, Ms. 608 area code, said they wanted to thank you for having the dial set to 720 on the radios in your catalog.
Yes. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
608 area code said, is there a Sea Crane model that will pick up aircraft in the country?
So the aircraft has to be within about 10 miles of the airline, of the airport. And so if there's an airport within 10 miles, then yes, the SSB-2 and the CC Skywave 2 both have airband on them. If that airport is using certain digital frequencies, then you may not. There's a possibility that it may not work, but in most cases, especially smaller country airports, we've had pretty good success. It's really more sometimes the bigger airports that do the digital frequency hopping, and it's a little harder to get some of the chatter.
317 area code said, are there different ranges for different models, and what's the maximum mileage range?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
That's so dependent. But, yes, so typically the bigger the radio, the better the reception for AM. And so the CC Radio 3, the 2, the EP Pro, those are going to have better AM reception than, say, like the Pocket or the smaller size radios. All of our radios, though, are designed to get the long range as much as possible. But those bigger ones, I mean, we've had people that are, you know, 3, 4, 5 states over at night, not as much during the summer, but during the winter, especially where the night's longer, where they'll be getting your station or 50,000 watt stations that are broadcasting in their direction. But if there's a particular frequency, we always say call us. We have U.S.-based tech support, and we actually know our products, and we can help look up the stations you're trying to get and figure out what the best solution is.
Yeah.
I have a weird technical question for you. What is the secret sauce that you use on all your radios to give really the best sound that I hear consistently out of any line of radios? From the CC3 to at night when Johnny is sleeping and I'm listening to the Skywave, the sound is really, really good. What do you guys do?
Yeah, so everything, you know, I wasn't as involved in the product side until more recently, but I've learned so much. Every single thing that's been done has been with intent. So trying to find the best speaker, moving the setup around inside the case of the radio. So every single radio is a little different. But then also, we try to not make it super bass heavy, because we figure everybody else kind of has that covered with music and Not that ours don't sound great on music. They do. But it's more so you can hear the words. Mm-hmm. And so everything is tuned around that. And all of the components designed to keep the noise out, to shield. There's a lot that goes into each one to try to accomplish that as best we can. And then trying to give the user some control, because hearing is subjective. So everybody hears things a little bit differently. So if we have separate controls or an equalizer or a way for you to say voice or music or news or talk, we try to do that where we can, so that way it sounds good to you as an individual.
I like to read the commercial and the part of the commercial that says the sound is so realistic, it's scary. It's like we're sitting right next to you. I'm like, really scary at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting right next to you.
Don't be afraid. I'm yes. just right behind you.
My favorite is when I hear a song that I thought I knew the words to, and then I'm singing along. I'm like, oh.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not what I thought. Yes.
Let me segue for a second. Mm-hmm. What's on your playlist?
Oh, gosh. I have everything. So my dad's a pastor. So I grew up, grew up in the 60s. And so I have everything from Motown. My grandpa played in bands, and he was like big band music. So mm-hmm. swing and big band all the way through rap, some country. The Beach Boys, when you're talking about them, mm-hmm. there's like, I have a little bit of everything. I also have a lot of like sacred music that I like.
Sure.
Like,
okay.
Drums and vocals and so I mean a little bit of all of it. And I love that my kids also have these playlists, because they'll be with other people and they'll be like, how do you know that song? Oh, my parents have
that's great.
Do you play anything? Do you play any instrument
besides the radio?
I do not. My son does. He plays the guitar, and my dad played the trumpet a bit, and then my grandpa was a great musician. He could play incredible on the keyboard and the organ, and then also he played other instruments.
Well, okay, I have to, being the guitar geek of the radio station. What kind of guitar does your son play?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't tell you, but I know he got a new one not that long ago that he was stoked to get for the price. So I will have to message you when I get home and tell you what it was, because I went with him to pick it up. Somebody was selling it on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh.
And he paid a pretty penny for it. It was like a few $1,000 guitar, and he got it for, like, I don't know, $1,200 or something like that. So he was pretty excited.
Okay, I'm going to give you a name, and you have to share this with your son.
Okay.
The name is Tommy Emmanuel.
Okay.
He is not one of, he is the best guitar player you will ever hear.
I love it.
It will inspire. It will actually inspire your son, because it's like, oh, wow, I can do that. I'm going to do that.
In fact, if off the air, if we can get an email or something from you, we will share with you a link to one of Tommy's performances when he was in the studio with us. And so far, I think it's got like 143,000 hits on our YouTube channel. He's just an incredible guitar player.
Well, love it.
I have to tell you that Todd, who was checking in from Honolulu, says, thank you for the answer, Jessica. I think I will become a Sea Crane customer very soon. So thank you.
I appreciate it.
And then other listeners said, thank you for being on the show tonight. Here's a listener that from 630 Eric Code, Deanna, says, I have at least 6 Sea Crane radios. I know we've given 6 as gifts.
At least.
Because I would say, okay, you know, they'll open it up, not be real excited. You go, yeah, but let's set it up for you. And then a friend of ours is listening to Italian radio.
Yes.
And she said, this has changed my life. I had no idea.
Yes.
So, and again, for anybody who's thinking, oh, boy, well, the sales department had them do it. No, this was our idea. We're radio geeks. We had an opportunity to talk with her, and we said, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. So, Jessica, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. And maybe we could do this on a somewhat regular basis so you can answer questions about things that are happening with the company. We always tell our listeners that they can call you anytime at Sea Crane. You can get a copy of the catalog. So let's stay in touch, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And always, if they have questions, please email or call us. We love to help. And even if it's not the product that we can supply, we're really good at directing people where they can get their needs met.
Awesome.
And you are going to come back on with us to make the announcement about the new radios being made in this country.
Yep.
In fact,
I definitely will. When we get there, I will definitely be the first. You guys will be on the first list to know.
I think you'll appreciate the fact that we do get texts from people that say, I will pay a higher price for something that's domestic manufacturing.
Yes.
So thanks for going that route. So again, thanks, Jessica. We really appreciate your time tonight. Have a good
Thank you for having me.
Sunday. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
Yeah. We're going to do this more often because a lot of good questions coming in from people. And they're a company that, I mean, they're filling a niche, right? There are not a lot of companies that are doing what they're doing and listening to the customer. And, she's not kidding. They answer their email. They answer their phone.
Yeah.
And that's 7 days a week.
They're a good company. And we're, this was no sales department's idea. It was our idea. We're geeks for this company, and they do good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All our news is next. We got a whole bunch coming up tonight right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, it is time for some shout-outs to those of you who are nice enough to hang out with us. And can I start with some shout-outs from our blog?
Yes. While you gather that information, can I just say, don't forget to say when you call the Sea Crane Company that you heard about it on the Steve and Johnny Show.
Yes.
Because then they'll continue to put 720 on their dials
on
all of their catalogs.
They really have that on all of their catalogs, and you'll see that on their website.
And thanks to our listener who pointed that out, too.
If you haven't checked out our blog, we really would appreciate it. It's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. By the way, I will give you a sneak peek into something that will be happening. Probably, what did we decide? It's probably going to be around September
that
we will be unveiling a brand new Steve and Johnny website.
Oh, yes. I'm excited about this.
We had some conversations with some people last week.
A web mistress.
Yes.
Oh, she'll love that. I'm calling her.
A web mistress.
Yes. She's a salty woman. Yes. She will love being called.
She is.
She is. A web mistress.
But if you haven't checked out our blog, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would check it out and if you would subscribe. There is zero fee. And we don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And we're always amazed at some of the countries that check out our blog. And so we will have the top 10 countries for this week, starting with the United States, followed by China, followed by Hong Kong, SAR China, followed by Belgium, Singapore, Germany, South Korea, Brazil, the Netherlands, and Hungary. And I want to acknowledge a couple of people who checked in on our blog tonight. And let's see. Welcome back. I will be listening from Samich on my phone.
Oh, that's Debbie Tusick.
Can't wait to see Johnny's pictures tonight.
By the way, I have like 26 pictures on our drive into work tonight, so enjoy those. We've got those on our Facebook page.
And Robin Aiken says, Steve and Johnny, welcome back. Great show tonight, and I will listen from Port Charlotte, Florida. Gene Jacobson, I will be listening on my Sea Crane radio from Milwaukee. And Debbie Hardiman, listening on the WGN app from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Don't forget to pack some real snacks, not just crackers. And I have to say that this for our next guest who's going to be joining us.
Oh, save it. Save it for her.
Should I?
Because they're in the house, so
okay,
I want to save it for her.
But it's a very cool post about, at the top of the hour, Denise LaGrassa is going to be joining us.
Yeah.
And just remind me to share a post from
one of our
listeners.
A couple of people actually saw her up in Madison this Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
815 area code. Hi, Stephen Johnny, your devoted fan, listening from Romeoville. That's Ms. Sherry Hanrahan. Gary Stark is listening from Charlotte, North Carolina. Also tonight, Chicago is checking in. Yay!
We're getting out to Chicago?
I know!
Golly!
Rob and Amy are checking in from Whiting, Indiana. David Shine, Senn High School alum, is checking in from Mount Prospect. Mike is from Elmwood Park. Bing Besh is listening in Winfield. That's Bing Besh. Sherry in Bolingbrook. Then we got a whole bunch of text at 312-981-7200 from folks who were asking questions about the Sea Crane radios or the company, and so I appreciate all of those texts, but I'm trying to wade through to get to the other folks, like Stacy Drager in Algonquin, who is tuned in. Bonnie and George really like the photos tonight, especially the one of the Lake Point Tower, and I think that might have been the one that our driver who was sitting in traffic, Steve.
That's true. We were stopped, and I said, can you quickly give me the camera? Mm-hmm. And I grabbed that one.
And you leaned out and took that picture of the Lake Point Tower. Bonnie Nelson, she says she's tuned in. And Carrie Hunt is in Ruskin, Florida. Mary J. Gold is in Tinley Park. Kathy Abnar is in Peoria. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Go White Sox. Yes. Oh, that's so refreshing. He's from Naperville and he's a Sox fan.
Yes.
We got a lot to talk about, too. We're going to talk some baseball later on tonight. Linda Johnson is listening. Thanks, Linda. Nice to hear from you. She's been with us from all the way back in the days when we had a MySpace page and a Yahoo group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she had some interesting comments about, said the best part of my big sis, Sea Crane handheld radio, is that when she's in the doctor's waiting room waiting for me, she is legally blind. So no phone games or reading a book. She listens with her headphones on, and I have the radio locked so she can't change the channel by accident.
By accident, quote unquote, yes. Brian Lefevre in Bridgepoint. Hey, Brian, thank you for tuning in. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Eric Baum sends us another one of those Board of Tourism pictures.
What a great shot.
From Wells Beach, Maine. He said tonight's picture is of the Perkins Cove in Agunquit, Maine. The footbridge over the cove, it has been unusually warm in the mid-90s these past week. And the bridge is up
and the sailboat is coming through.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Again, if you want to see these, go to our Facebook page and just kind of scroll down and you'll see some of these pictures.
You will see our drive to work pictures. You will see, first of all, you'll see fireworks from tonight.
Great
and
pictures.
Not the most spectacular fireworks, but I think it's pretty impressive. In a glass room, I'm taking pictures into a dark night, and I think they came out pretty nicely tonight. Under those pictures will be our drive to work pictures, and under that, you will see a little newspaper article we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And then
something that we weren't aware of, and an anniversary that was a 41-year anniversary as of Saturday.
Absolutely. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. She said, glad you're back in real time. Well, we're in the same time, and we're in Panama City Beach.
Central time zone.
Linda Daniels is tuned in. Diane Vasquez, she's our graphics guru and a big Sox fan. We kind of were commiserating during the Boston series. Oh, that was so painful. Oh, she was saying, what's going on? I said, I don't know.
You figured out what the problem was. And you were absolutely right.
It is the magic of Mike Vasil in the dugout. He wasn't there in Boston.
Yep.
People laugh about it.
And they played like 2 years ago.
He has a wand. He wears a magician's cap. People say, oh, that's stupid. We're adults. Stop that nonsense. Look at what they did in Boston. Nothing. He wasn't there. There's something to the magic. So I'm telling you, I get scared right when the game starts. I go, is he in the dugout? Let's see if he's in the dugout.
And what was the cool hat that he had on yesterday?
He was wearing a sombrero because of Mexican Heritage Day.
That was such a cool...
And on top of the sombrero, he had his magician's hat on top of it. Yeah, it looked ridiculous. I know we're adults, but it's a game, for heaven's sakes. Come on, people. Peter Chuckabowitz checks in. Thank you, Peter. Judy B. also checking in. And thank you to Diane Vasquez for the adorable graphic she did for us tonight. A simple summer Saturday. Have a blessed day. Thank you, Diane. Tracy Douglas is listening in Savannah. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Thank you very much. Susie Marie Schimmel is in Glen Ellen. Matt Palmer, Racine, Wisconsin. Peter Jakubowicz, he says, I'm especially excited to hear Jessica Crotty's segment. Always look forward to Dr. Patrick Crispin. Yeah, he's on with us tonight talking tech in the midnight hour. Louise Palish is on the northwest side, Norwood Park. Chuck Snitchler, our buddy from Valpo, he is the best friend of this radio show and to this station. And he says, speaking of the 4th, my great niece Athena had her 4th birthday on Thursday. So happy birthday to Miss Athena. She's
happy
adorable.
Happy birthday, Athena.
John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. John's a busy guy. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Tom Murphy in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Gail Maslin is across Lake Michigan from my cottage in Lake City, Michigan. Sounds like a great show tonight. That's Gail Maslin. Christian Moberg in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Fred Hussar is listening in Lyons, Illinois. I didn't know there was a Lyons, as in L-I-O-N-S. I looked at that and I thought, does that ring a bell with you? It doesn't with me.
I thought it was L-Y.
Y-O-N-S, yeah. Larry, but yeah, he lives there. He should know what it is.
Jonathan, where do you go, Y or I?
The only Lyons Club, I'm familiar with, is like the Lyons Club.
Y-O-N-S,
so.
Yeah. Okay, so Fred, tell us. Give us more info. Larry Mann is in Miami. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Patrice Tentari, she's our good listener, in Northwest Indiana. Sandy McCumas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Oh, Eric Baum put up another picture. He's making me crazy. I'm going to have to get me a bus ticket and get to Maine. Tonight's band is the Deep Blue Sea 17-piece orchestra enjoying small coastal entertainment. It looks like heaven. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park and sends a long message, and I'll get to that in a bit. Thank you, Marie. Priscilla Gilbert Steak is in Joliet. Michelle Fairfield in Peoria. Nancy Tomaszewski. And Todd Moe is in Egg Harbor. That's God's country. That is. In fact, we have a great listener, Beverly Goodall. She's headed up to God's country. She's the one that gave us a goat from Dora County.
The coolest goat.
A metal goat.
Yep.
I was going to put it out in the garden, and I thought, no, I don't want it to get rusty, so I'm keeping it in our living room. We have a metal goat in our living room. Doesn't everyone?
Exactly.
We'll take a break. We'll get right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Boy, what sad news to hear that Bonnie Tyler passed away this week.
Yep.
What a talent. She had been in the hospital for a while, but then it looked like she was going to be okay, and all of a sudden we got the sad news. And you forget how many hits she had.
I know.
It's a heartache, Total Eclipse of the Heart. We're going to play a bunch of Bonnie Tyler throughout the night because there's so many. One song that probably hasn't been heard on this side of the big pond, but it was a hit for Bonnie Tyler and Shakin' Stevens over in Europe, their version of A Rockin' Good Way.
Mm.
And then a song that she just released within the past couple months called One World, One Home. That is a beautiful, beautiful song.
I was quickly trying to find the story. I think you had mentioned after her passing that there was a story about how her gravelly voice came about.
Yeah, she was, and I don't have the story in front of me, but I believe she was told that she had some nodules on her vocal cords.
Yeah.
So she had to have an operation. She had the operation. And then coming out of that, the doctor said, oops, well, you're going to have a little more gravelly voice. But it worked for her.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a problem singing, and it added some depth. But everything I've read about her, if you get the chance, go to, and maybe we should put this link up on our Facebook page. There's a really good BBC site.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have tributes and the people that are coming out of the woodwork, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I just read that one.
Yeah.
The politicians, movie stars, other singers. I mentioned the video I came across that really moved me to tears with Rod Stewart finding out he was performing and found out that she had just passed away, and he went into an a cappella version of Total Eclipse of... No, it's a heartache.
Mm-hmm.
But Total Eclipse of the Heart, she got a whole new audience during the eclipse.
Yeah.
Because it was being played by news stations around the world. And people were going, well, who's that? That's a cool voice. Who is this woman? And she saw a bump in her popularity and sales of her music, which was really
neat. And remember Holding Out for a Hero?
Yeah. Yeah.
From Footloose.
Right.
And... she was born Gaynor Hopkins in South Wales.
Isn't that amazing?
And she chose her name by reading a newspaper and picking first names and surnames that she liked.
So she became Bonnie Tyler. Yeah. She passed away in Faro, Portugal. She was a coal miner's daughter in Wales. She dropped out of school while still a teenager to work in a grocery store.
Total Eclipse of the Heart was her biggest hit.
Yeah.
And it passed a billion, that's with a B, streams on Spotify earlier this year, and she never got tired of singing it.
In 1969, her aunt entered her into a talent competition. She didn't win. She came in second. But the experience inspired her to pursue a career as a singer. She was spotted in a local club by a talent scout. And next thing you know, she signed with RCA Records. It's a cool story.
Brian Adams said he will always be grateful for her beautiful version of Straight from the Heart.
Yeah.
Cliff Richard said he was mourning another wonderful friend gone too soon. Just wonderful tributes from all over.
Yeah.
And again, she was, as I said earlier, over in Europe, she was as big as Tina Turner to the European audience. And from everything I've read of her, about her, just a really nice person.
Yeah, and beautiful. Beautiful blue eyes and all that big blonde hair, you know. We had mentioned earlier that she'd recently had surgery. She had surgery for a perforated intestine. She was placed in an induced coma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they brought her out of that induced coma, and then she suffered a cardiac arrest and did not recover.
Who was it? I'm blanking out on this. There was another celebrity who went through a very similar situation just within the past year, I believe.
In the past few months, had a perforated intestine and had surgery for it. Yeah.
And they thought it was going to be okay, but then...
I'm going to have to read up on that because it seems like how does one end up with a perforated intestine? No doubt we have someone listening who's been down this road before.
Yeah.
They'll enlighten me. But can I just take you back to shout-outs for just a moment?
Because
I apologize if I don't get to all of you. I can't. There are too many.
Yeah. Fortunately, there are too many. Thank you. We do read all of them, and sometimes time just doesn't allow for us to get to everybody.
Yeah, and as I'm talking, sometimes people are checking in, like Bob in Jefferson, Wisconsin, and Ken in Pullman, Michigan, and Bonnie in George, and so I'm sorry. But we wanted to mention that when you go to our Facebook page, you're going to see fireworks from tonight, and then under the fireworks will be a couple dozen pictures of our drive into the radio station.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going with
this. And then under that, you're going to see a copy of an old newspaper blurb.
And this was something that we have to thank Tim Brown, who posted in this a Facebook group. It's called Midwest Radio Memories. And he dug up something from Robert Feeder's column. Robert Feeder, for those of you who may not know, he was the radio TV columnist for both the Sun-Times and the Tribune at different times. And this was from a column memory that he did 41 years ago, July 11th, 1985. And it was a time in our career, and you will see there's a number of things that he writes about. But this was the point in, as we mentioned, in our broadcast adventures, when even though we were successfully freelancing on both radio and TV, we decided to roll the dice and put all our eggs into WGN Radio's basket And it's an article. It says, Steve King is giving up his Saturday morning shift on WKQX-FM to boost his part-time duties at WGN-AM, including a 6:30 to 8 p.m. Saturday show with wife Johnny Putman. And that was our first show together.
Yes.
Well, it was our first show together was on Valentine's Day of 1985, but this was our first official show together on a Saturday night.
Yep. So when we came back to this show 3 years ago, we said, wow, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Because here we are back behind the microphone and 109 years of combined experience in radio. thanks to Tim.
And one of these days we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Thanks to Tim for digging that up. We appreciate it. And I want to give a special shout out to a gentleman who feels that I am overlooking him. So, Jim, this is for you. Jim in Richmond is the one that asked if we could please play some Bonnie Tyler tonight. So we did that, and we're going to play some more Bonnie Tyler tonight.
Yeah.
But Jim seems to think that I am intentionally overlooking him. And, Jim, I apologize. So this is a special shout-out to you.
Hello, Jim.
Don't do that. People listening on their Sea Cream Radio going, ew, he's right next to me.
Don't be afraid. Nothing to worry about.
Hey, stick around. We're going to introduce you to a woman that we don't know how. Time has passed and we have not had her in the studio, not get to know her. We're going to get to know her. She's a great blues performer, has a brand new album out. And you better stick around because you're going to want to hear Denise LaGrassa on the program. And that's coming up right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, living in a big bad dream. Oh, I love that. And you need to get this album. We'll tell you all about it. We are so pleased to welcome Denise LaGrassa into the studio. And before we do anything, Denise, I want to share with you. This was from one of our listeners who saw you at the Lafitte de Marquette Festival at Madison.
Okay.
This was Robin. And she said, sweet baby Jesus, they were hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that awesome?
That's pretty cool. Sweet baby Jesus, they were hot.
That needs to go on your website.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love that. You're right. What was her name again?
That was Robin Banks.
Hi, Robin. You rock.
Yeah. And I think she was pleased when she checked out our rundown for tonight's show. She was like, whoa.
Oh.
And then we had some folks that said, oh, no, I was planning on being there today.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for coming after doing a gig in the middle of the day up in Madison today.
It was a wonderful day. Had a great time up
beautiful
there.
Beautiful weather,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was perfect. Could it get any better?
Yeah,
in
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Denise LaGrassa has a brand new CD. It's A Crossroads Communion. Congrats on the CD. It's been out for about a month now, right?
June. Was the first June 4th?
Okay.
Was that
just
first,
about a
first
month?
Friday, yes. So that is, wow, yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
A month later.
And you're a Chicagoan. How come we know all the same people? What has happened?
And how come we've never run into each other before?
I know. Well, here we are. We've arrived.
Yes. And you've got a lot of shows coming up, too. So
yeah,
we're going to catch you performing, too, this
thank you.
Sometime
yes,
over the next few months.
Okay. Yeah.
But by the way, before we get to your current adventures.
Oh, we're going to go on the Wayback Machine.
We're going to Wayback Machine.
Yes.
What's up with that?
What the heck is this about you setting a world record on the trapeze as a teenager?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What was that all about?
There was a Daredevil record that was in Baraboo, Wisconsin at the Circus World Museum, and I was involved in an acrobatic school there, and it was like...
Wait.
It was a contest, yes.
You were involved in an
acrobatic school that was connected to the Circus World
Museum. Did you think you were
going to
run off with the circus at some point?
Well, it looks like I still have, right?
This is definitely... You just took your own circus.
I am definitely traveling. It is absolutely that. Yeah. I think that's where it all started, really, and then here we are today, and it was a daredevil kind of attitude that I had. But, well, I can do that. And
so there was a competition.
Yes. And so people were competing to break this record, which was was held in like the early part of the 20th century, and they thought it would be a good idea to start some sort of competition. And so I'm like, well, I can try to do that. And I didn't even like put two and two together. You got to be that high in the air, yeah, and you got to spin around so many times to break this record. And I'm like,
whoa.
I'm like, well, I can do that, you know. I can do that. I can eat donuts. I can do that. I can, you know, whatever. I can do that. So, again, that daredevil spirit.
So how many times did you do that?
Still with me. It was, I think, 308.
What?
Good grief.
The record was like in the 200-something, you know.
Have you always been nuts?
Here I am. I mean, come on. Look at right now.
I love the look on her face. She's like, busted.
Yeah. Have you always
been? Yeah, I think it's the people like us who soar like this, you know, we kind of take those challenges and you know, pave new waves, you know, pave new paths, I should say.
How did
pioneering. We're pioneers.
How did the
acrobatic pioneers.
How did the transition occur from acrobatic trapeze artist to singer?
Well, I mean, I was always writing songs when I was a kid. I was greatly influenced, I think, by my mom and my father. My father really loved his big band music and loved Sinatra. They loved to dance. So it was like that was always in the household. Instrument in the basement. My mom could play by ear and she had pipes. Or she still does. She's mm-hmm. an incredible singer.
Really?
Yeah, she won a contest in Scotland. So she came from Scotland to America. My dad put that all aside to raise a family. But
yeah,
the music was just always there. She was writing. She was in the basement pounding out songs. I'm like, I can do that.
Wow.
So I just started.
That's like, your mantra. I can do that.
Yes. I
right?
can. Yes. I saw her doing it. I'm like, I'm going to
do that.
I see my great niece doing that right now. She's got her little boombox and moving with the music. And so, yeah. And I think it's just in really deep in there, though. Right. My great grandfather Francisco LaGrassa, there's a major organ in Sicily, and that is where my family, my father's side, Sicilian, mm-hmm. and it's in San Pietro in a church there. He was commissioned Francisco LaGrassa to create this gigantic organ, and it's the most famous organ in the world.
Hmm.
It took 11 years to build.
What?
Was
Whoa.
Commissioned by the Archbishop, and then from that came a whole family of organ builders. So he started this whole dynasty of organ builders in Italy. So, and then here I am now playing this, you know, prior to that I would play more acoustic, you know, weighted keyboard, but now I play this organ song, which we need in the blues. So it's just, it's there. It's right there. And then my mother's side with the writing of lyrics, you know, the Scottish side with all the poets, you know.
And that's where you got your red hair, too,
right? So all of that. She's a great writer, my mom, great poet.
Wow.
So all of that.
But you had a kind of a side trip into the Second City comedy?
Oh, yes. That was the first stop, because I was just very, you know, kind of a funny person in high school. And I was like watching SNL going, I can do that. So I was like, I left school, came down to Chicago, auditioned, got in, went through the workshops, and once again, there it was, writing songs and performing what was called make-a songs. I could take different ideas from the current events.
Like really, improv?
Yeah, improv songwriting. And I would go backstage and I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I would just let it run. You know, it would just like be this like roller coaster of like, you know, it starts as rock, goes to opera, goes to, you know, I would just like take a song and like almost a theatrical direction, but it was all music.
Mm-hmm.
People would be like, you're really good at that. You're really a nice singing voice, a nice way of writing. You should get really focused on the music. And so I was like, I was really being drawn to that. So then I went to school and finished with that.
Hmm.
So here at Columbia College.
That's a at Columbia.
Yes.
I'm a graduate of Columbia.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So I was really happy with the outcome.
Yeah, we were lucky to have Columbia College in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the best things about Columbia back in my day was you could pay by the week. So you had tuition, and I would walk up to a window and I would just shove my tips from waitressing through the window, and they go, okay, well, now you owe $700.
You have to share what your mom told you.
About that. Because I made really good tip money. And so she was concerned if I took it to the bank, that people would question how I made my money. So I said, well, I'll just take it to school and pay my bills that way.
Yeah,
and we literally could just shove the money through a window and they would ring it up and, oh, you have an outstanding balance. And It was a red letter day when they'd say,
that's
you're
pretty
clean.
Cool. And yeah. You paid for it yourself, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's so great to have you in studio tonight.
Thank you.
Denise's
for having me.
New CD is a Crossroads Communion. Now, you're going to hear a bunch of it tonight as she visits with us. And you can get your hands on the CD. I told her off the air. I'm going to spell her name so people can find her on the Internet. It's Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, LaGrassa, LaGrassa.com. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of stuff there for you. So stay with us. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back with Denise here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Again, this is one of those albums that we want to play everything, but if we do, we're not going to have any time to talk. The album is A Crossroads Communion. It's Denise LaGrassa. It's wonderful. It belongs in your collection, and you can get it by?
You can get it by going to Denise's website, deniselagrassa.com. And Denise, I motioned to you. I was rubbing my arm. Mm-hmm. That song gives me big goosebumps. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you open your mouth, I'm like, dang, girl, that's a good song.
Yeah, thank you for playing that. I'm happy you did, because it's interesting that we're getting some non-com radio airplay right now.
And is that the cut on the CD that's going to play?
It's not. It actually isn't. So it's, right? I mean, it's not. It's more Vain Game. It's more Big Bad Dream. Mm-hmm. Go the more of the up-tempo. I'll play the blues for you, the cover. But so that was happy that you played that. Because, I mean, when we sing it live, that it just... people, you know, come up and they really are moved by it. So thank you for playing it.
I mentioned to you off the air, but I want to share this with the kids that are on the other side of the speakers. If you're expecting a typical blues album,
right?
And trust me, I love blues, but this is so much more. Not only the way it's performed, but the content.
The lyrics are powerful.
You're saying some stuff, lady, and thank you for the stuff you're saying and the way you're saying it.
Well, it's a moral album. You know, I started writing it back in 2025, and just looking at how we are as a country and how we're treating each other, it's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And that's what's pouring out of some of the songs you'll hear here. The other one that you just played, actually, I was deeply moved by a dear friend who had lost her mother. And then my bandmate, Steve Manns, has been with the band now for 4 years. He had lost his mother quite suddenly. And then it just gave me pause to think about what it's going to be like to confront that myself, you know. And so then it just started pouring out. So their pain... And then me thinking about, how is it going to happen? How am I going to be impacted?
Take a little time and talk about the band, because your band is tight.
Wow, are they good?
Yeah, well, that's a few years now. I mean, it's like, it takes time to do this, right? Mm-hmm. It takes time to grow a sound. It takes time to mesh and...
to meld.
To grow with people, to be with people that, are part of your vision and want to go along with it and are enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's all about that. If you're not enjoying this, then,
go home.
Then let's, go home. Right. Otherwise, so they grow, we grow, and I have the pleasure of still writing with John Krieger, who has co-written... all the original songs on this album, with the exception of the one cover song, and also the Illinois Art Council. Thank you for gifting us with the ability to actually produce the whole album
at
Narwhal.
What a great story.
With Jim Gifford producing. Yeah.
I'm completely honest, right?
This album would not have happened without the Illinois Art Council grants, the Creative Accelerator
grants. Did you go
grants.
To them, or did they?
Went to them. I went to them several years ago with the Blues and a Color, a conversation about race. That was my one-person solo show when I was doing these solo shows. And they gave me some money for that, to record that album that coincided with the one-person show that I performed. And then several years later, I came back and asked for money for the Flame, for the album from 2023. And they helped support that with a backing grant. But this was a total surprise. I just, I saw it out there, and I'm like, the Creative Accelerator grant, they're probably going to gift some younger folks. You know, they're not going to you know, come to me. But I wrote out what I wanted to do and how this, you know, having the ability to go in and record without spending all that, I can then hire the publicist and hire the radio people to run with this, because this is an expensive thing to do.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And if you're going to do it right, you have to do it right. But, you know, anymore, if you don't have funding, I don't know how people do it.
I know.
How do you get seen? How do you get known when we're in this social media environment where it's like there's so many talented people? It's fragmented, right? It's, you know,
but
so.
The amazing thing is your story is a wonderful success story at a time when money is being pulled away from organizations and people. You were given the opportunity to make this CD. Thanks to the Illinois Arts Council.
Truly a gamble. I mean, I was writing the grant out going, well, maybe I'm done here. Maybe I'm all done, because there's just no way. I can't afford to do it. There's just I'm not going to be able to do this. And then when I received it in February of, I guess it was 20, where are we? 25, where are we? 26? It would have been 24. That's right.
Wow.
I was just blown away. And so we were able to, then I was able to bring in someone else. I mean, I've always produced my own work, so to have somebody else like Jim Gifford over at Narwhal stand back, and he's like, I'd like to help you and produce this. And I said, well, I've got a designated amount of money. I don't want to be hiring you because you're going to cost me. But he gave me a nice deal. And so that journey with him and Max over there was just fun and flawless, what you want. Mm-hmm.
Well,
everything
I
you
have
want.
To ask you. Mm-hmm. That not only where, but how is this recorded? Because it has a live, funky feel.
Well, that's their work. Yeah, that's their work. That's the studio. That's not me. I mean, it is the blending and how they let you stand back and figure things out and work your things out and work together. They create an atmosphere there where you can just get your work done and you get it done quickly and it sounds great.
Well, kudos to them.
Yeah.
And thank you, because the CD is $10.
Yeah.
That's a crazy good deal for the amount of music you get in the CD.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Sit tight or hang loose, whatever works for
whichever
you.
Whichever works.
For
whichever
a few minutes.
Tight, loose.
We're going to get an update on the news. And Denise is going to be at like 7 or 8 places over the next month and a half. So we're going to tell you all about that. And again, you can get her CD at deniselagrassa.com. It's A Crossroads Communion. Best $10 you'll spend in a while. So news is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Man, I love this. This is so good. Denise LaGrassa is in the studio with us.
That's the blame game.
I love the whole album, but man, that's a great track.
Lyrically, dang. That's
how long
powerful.
Did it take you to write that one?
Oh, that one.
Did you just watch the news and then sit down inspired?
Yeah. Pretty much. You know, it doesn't. The lyrics just. You know, I'll get two verses done, and I'm like, oh, I got to write a third one. Or, you know, just as long as you get one down, then you can run them back. And as long as you get your rhythm and everything is lining up, then the rest is good. Really, if you can get a verse and a chorus together, you're on your way.
Are you writing on keyboard?
When I write, sometimes I do write on keyboard, but I mean, I'll hear ideas and I'll... Mm-hmm. Put them down on my phone, put them on a voice memo, or I'll sit down and I'll have, you know, play out an idea and start singing that idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that many times too, where I just start singing the idea and the lyrics together. But even anymore, like, and so the guitarist I'm working with now, Alvin Satner, he was like, you want to write something? I'm like, sure. And so I had a riff. I came in with a riff. Just like, why wouldn't I want to? Anyway, and it's just evolved from there. Mm-hmm. And then I just ran it down, got my lyrics together, got the form together, and then came up with another verse. Writing is so much fun.
Do you ever wake up with a song?
Oh, yeah. And
really?
Wake up or go to sleep.
And you have to quickly grab your keyboard or guitar or whatever and put it down?
Yes. Or I'll just,
hum it into the phone?
Yeah. Or just try not to wake up my husband, go in the restroom and just start singing into the phone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. I'll be like, okay, it's there. I have to get up right now. I have to get this song out of my system before I can sleep. Really,
that would be heaven to hear you in a bathroom echoing off of the tile in a bathroom.
That's what I do.
And I
never regret it. I'll be as tired as I am. I'm like, I got to do this tomorrow and that tomorrow. But Denise, you just got to get up and
do that song.
Get it out. Mm.
that you know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. This reminds me, we were fortunate to have a long friendship with Les Paul, and he told us that there were times when he would get up and he'd have to go into the bathroom because bathrooms have the best echo, the best natural echo with those tiles.
That's true. Yeah. It is.
You don't sound wimpy in a bathroom. Well, you would never sound wimpy.
Well, it does inspire, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah it does. He's right.
Yeah. Wow.
When did you get to the point of, okay, not only do I enjoy doing this, but you know what? I can make a living doing this.
Well, the living part, yeah. The living part, you have the living part and it kind of goes up and then it goes down. It's like, so the steady part of it seems to be coming. I mean, it's again, this is hard work. It's been now 4 years of really running and gunning with it and just hustling and just staying focused. And but it's not easy. And so, yeah, fortunately, we've had this festival in Madison. We had some great festivals. We played the Fargo Blues Festival. We were in Missouri. We were in Arkansas. We've had some great festivals this summer, and it keeps building. So if it doesn't keep building, then you're not, you know, you should
Europe?
Do something else.
I feel like you would be wildly popular in Europe.
I know. I'm hoping that there's a company I'm working with right now, and so we're talking about...
Because they have a real appreciation for American blues and roots music and music with a message.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
You know, the blatant plug light has started flashing, so we should list some of the places where people can see you over the next several weeks, days,
Denise
months.
Denise will be at Firewater Saloon. I said, that's a new one on me. It's in Edison Park in
Edison
Chicago.
Edison Park on the Northwest Highway. Yeah, great place.
The Northwest Side.
Yes, it's great.
That'll be on Thursday, July 30th.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be in Warsaw, Indiana at Spike's Beach Grill.
That's a great place, too.
Really?
Yeah,
so you've played there.
Real beachy.
Okay.
Yeah, going back there.
That's August 1st. And on the 4th, you're at Hey Nani. We're so happy that Hey Nani's is there because they've got a great booking policy. And everybody says it's a fun listening room. And that's it. You come to listen to the music.
Yeah, it's great when you have the great sound equipment like they had at Bobby's, Robert's West Side, Bobby's East Side on Friday night. We were there, and that sound in there is just wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, I love the good sound system.
So that's August 4th. Mm-hmm. And then...
Hey Nani is August 4th. Yep.
Rojo Gusano.
Oh, that's been a great place over in Ravenswood, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Where have
Get
I
over
been?
There.
What
yeah.
is it? Is it a bar? Is it a...
It's a you know, fine dining Mexican. It's
Get
really
out.
Nice. And we have they have a nice stage there. And even now it's... What?
What's the address?
Oh, the good question. It's between, you know, between Irving and Montrose over there.
Okay, on Ravenswood.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been playing there for like 3 years.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, and again, you get to play out. You play the more gigs that you play, the more you grow, and and then we'll be back in Wilmette, I think. There's something.
Yes. Well, let's not forget Gary. Yes. You're going to be at the 18th Street Brewery in Gary on the 14th
that's
of August.
That's a fun place, too. Yeah.
Then in Wilmette,
Miller
Music
Beach.
On the Green, which is really fun.
Really cool.
We love that.
Love Wilmette.
And then back at Row House on the 27th of August. Mm-hmm. Then in Rockford at the Lyron Social Club. That's, can I just say?
Yeah, that's the Blues Society up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great Blues Society.
We are night people, but I love the fact your shows are 6:30 and 7 o'clock in the evening. They're not 11.
The early sets.
Yes. I love that.
I love that, too.
Yes.
All right.
Because, well, like today, you played at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Afternoon, yeah.
Yeah. And again,
beautiful.
We're night people. We'll go home and be up all night after that. But,
that's true.
You know, when you're waiting around for the music and it's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, come on, let's do this.
Yeah, Firewater Saloon. Come on. Yeah. July 30th.
That is cool. So
yeah, they've got a great stage, big stage, nice room.
Really?
Open windows, you know, so people can sit outside and get the breeze of the
Wow. And that's in Edison Park, Firewater Saloon. Well, again, I'm putting all of these places on my radar because they're new to us. Denise LaGrassa is our guest. Her CD is a Crossroads Communion. It's been out for about a month now. It's $10 and you can get it at her CD. Is her music downloadable for people who want to do the Spotify and Apple?
We're on Spotify and Apple. All the listening platforms, we're on there.
Yeah,
for sure.
And people should check out your YouTube channel too.
Yes,
because you've got some great videos too.
Oh yeah, I've got to get more of those up there too.
If you want to get an idea of what you're going to see, it is so cool.
Well, a listener says from 608 error code said, "I think Denise looks like Nancy Wilson from Heart."
Oh really?
Yeah. But Nancy doesn't have the cool red hair.
Yeah.
The Flame. That Maybe was a perfect title for one of CDs.
So was that person at the festival show?
No,
today?
She just said she saw your picture on our Facebook page today.
Okay. Thank you, by the way, for promoting this tonight.
Oh, sure.
Really appreciate that.
How many times over the week did we say, how did we miss her as we're listening to your music?
Because really, this week we had your album on replay.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Thank you very much.
A few more minutes with you, so just sit, hang loose.
Hang loose, okay. Thank you.
Denise LaGrasse is our guest in studio tonight here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Joyride. That's from Denise LaGrasse's new album, A Crossroads Communion.
Is that John Krieger on guitar?
That is Alvin. Alvin Santner on this particular tune. Alvin Santner is playing guitar.
Nice, funky riff.
John's on the album too, though.
Yeah, it's fun because we're listening now tonight with headphones on. So,
instead of
in your house when it's playing and you got the headphones on, I'm going, whoa, that guitar is really good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
John was with us Friday at the Robert's Westside. We had two guitars Friday night. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Wow, so you're playing with a full band when you come out to do shows.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that doesn't happen a lot either because of expenses. It's a lot.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw that you were born in Chicago, raised in Wisconsin, and came back to Chicago. So I'm assuming North Side or South Side?
Yes, North Side.
North Side?
Yes.
Yeah. You went to school in Wisconsin.
Went to school and then, yeah.
That's how you ended up in the circus troupe. Yeah. Right?
Well, the circus school. Went to school. Well, that was like when I was, ninth grade, I believe, when I broke that record. It was eighth grade. So it was just the end of middle school when I broke that record. And then went to school for a while and was in Madison, came down here, as I said, went to Columbia, made a return, stopped for a minute, and then made a return. Mm-hmm. And then I actually went back to school when I moved to Central Illinois and got my master's in jazz studies and then my doctorate.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
In jazz studies. So this all started because the school I was teaching at closed. Lincoln College closed in 2022. So when that closed suddenly, it was a 157-year-old school. I was leading the music program there. And so when everything just shut down, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Might as well just go for it.
You have a degree in jazz?
Yeah. A doctorate.
We don't know anyone who has a degree in jazz.
We are not
jazz
worthy.
Studies.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know Les Paul. That's cooler than anything.
But when you went for a master's in jazz study, what kind of a career did you see yourself having at that point when you were going for that master's?
Well, I just have a knack for teaching, so that that's all in me. So I just could see merging my ability to teach with performing, and then that's such a part of what you do when you're teaching.
Yeah.
You have to.
If you're a good teacher.
If you're going to, you got to perform and show your students that you're performing.
Right.
So that, there's all of that. But that whole piece is another story.
Who's on your playlist?
Oh, who's on my playlist? That's a good question. Lately, if I'm honest.
Please, it's just us. Yeah. It's just us girls.
I like my early Delta blues music, honestly, and I've been listening to a lot of that lately. And then you merge that with like K-Love. I mean, I'm just being honest. I listen to sometimes K-Love when I'm driving, and I listen to WFMT. I mean, I listen to classical. I mean, I listen to everything, I suppose. But the early Delta blues is what really feels centered with me. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because Alvin, the Santner, the guitarist I've been working with, he too, we're sharing, finding new artists and being influenced by those artists.
Wow.
And again, like you were talking earlier, I mean, this is not a blues album, but it is. There are people like Joanna Shaw Taylor and Samantha Fish. Mm-hmm. They're out there making blues albums, but they're not like you know, down this, the path that has already been made for the blues. Mm-hmm. They're evolving the blues.
And then there's like a Joanna Connor.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm thinking that's hardcore blues.
Yeah. Right, right. So, I mean, that's, I'm not unlike, I think I have my thing, they have their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone, we're all welcome to the table.
But your background with jazz, it explains a lot about the
has
sound.
Influenced my composition.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, and that's what I learned, I would say, most about jazz. It has influenced my composition. Mm-hmm. The songwriting, just how to bring different elements into it, because I have to sound like me. I have to sound and be true to myself. And so while returning to where I started in Chicago, I should back up too. When I first got here, I was playing in blues clubs and merging R&B and blues like we still do today. And that's where I started. And that really, like when COVID happened, I have to say that's when I was like, I really want to go back to that Denise.
Yeah.
You know, and speak there and speak from the soul and connect with the community in a way that to me felt more, that's the lane I want to be in.
So you never felt you had to leave Chicago, that there was enough here to help you survive? Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, I had to go to New York or I had to go to L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I had my brushes with going to New York, and then 9/11 happened. I mean, I was ready to go there.
Really?
Was looking at, I was looking at condos to buy and go. And that was a big move that I was going to make. And then
and the universe
everything
said no.
Changed. Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. So that was like,
wow.
And Chicago has such a creative community anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the greatest city in the world.
Amen.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Except in the winter. We got to get out of here in the winter.
No. We're the only people that have a house in Florida and we don't go in the winter. You know, we stay here in the winter.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to do Christmas in the snow and I got to have,
something
to complain about.
Yeah.
Don't you love to go to the grocery store in a snowstorm? That's all people are talking about the weather.
Yes. Right.
As they're buying up all the bread and milk.
Right, right.
And then you tell them in Florida and they go, what? You go, you don't know what it's like when
you don't have
bread and milk. You don't even eat it or drink it, but you got to buy it.
It's true. Yeah, it is. This is great to be. But in January, get me out of here. February.
But today was like a board of tourists.
Today
day.
Was wonderful.
It was so beautiful.
It was like that in Madison, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather was like, there was a little breeze coming in on the stage, and it's warm, and you're like, yay.
Low humidity.
We've arrived. People dancing in front of us. Okay.
Did you take the drive coming into this station tonight?
Oh, no, I popped at home and just took a little snooze. And
because we take the Lakeshore Drive coming to to the studio.
It was easy to get here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, it felt really great.
So one of the things we do on our Facebook page is I take pictures as Steve is driving us to the station.
Oh.
It's our drive to work. And the people from around the world that are going like, thank you for taking us on the drive.
That's so cool.
Seeing things that I don't get to see, or people who no longer live here.
And
I remember the Drake Hotel.
This is my place. This is my town.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's weird.
These are my buildings. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. These are my buildings.
So where do you hope that this CD takes you, a Crossroads Communion? Where do you hope, let's say, a few months down the road?
As far as we can go with it, I mean, we'll see.
I want to see you go to Europe.
I do, too.
They'll keep
They'll
lock the door.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would like to travel as far and take it to as many people as possible, maybe return to Buddy Guy's when that time comes up again. Mm-hmm. And, just to play it and get in front of as many people as possible and share and share it and connect.
Buddy's a good person to look up
to. He is fantastic.
Just living nine
decades. We're so lucky to be. We have Ground Zero. We have the best blues club in the world right here. Ground Zero for blues is Buddy Guy's. Yes.
Speaking of Buddy, I have to ask.
Yes.
Have you seen the movie Sinners?
Yes. Yeah, can you believe it?
Wow.
It's our guilty pleasure now when it's on at night.
We had a dear friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Who watched the movie and left after the credits.
I didn't see the payoff.
And didn't get to see the payoff.
With Buddy.
Oh.
Wow.
And she said, well, Buddy's only in it for a couple seconds. We go,
no.
If you haven't seen it, stay after the credits because it puts a whole different tone on the movie.
Stay after the credits twice.
Yes.
Twice. So that's the cool part. And it's all Buddy.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And here he is, 90 and July 31st,
right?
And he's still doing it, so... He's an inspiration for me.
But you know what? He's an inspiration that if you're doing something that you love, you're not really. It's more than just music. It's more than a job. It's good for your soul, and it keeps you young.
And every time you see him when you go down there, he's there. You can go down and see him. Yeah. Check him out. I mean, why people go see him now? Yeah. Don't, you know? And he's always enjoying himself and connecting with people in the audience. We saw him with Pierre Lecoque back in March and just getting up with Pierre and playing. And just, he's happy. A joy to be around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's one of the things that I have enjoyed watching your videos. When you're performing, oh boy, are you into it.
Yes.
Just really, even if it's a song, and I've gone through a lot of your videos, and even if it's something that you've done for years, you're into this moment doing this song.
Well, I think that I'll say that comes from, I believe, the theatrical training, the training of theater, right? So
put on a show.
I was just talking to one of my musicians, you know, Nicole Hollander. Remember the show Sylvia? I
don't
know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I played her daughter.
Really?
Yeah, there's going to be a memorial for her here in Chicago in August, sometime in August. I can't remember. They reached out to me and they asked, you know.
Oh, you have to tell us more about
that. Yeah, yeah. So that, you know, and so, you know, when you're doing 8 shows a week and you're doing the same, playing the same, so that all of that training plays into this. And then you're in the moment.
And you approach each show like it's a fresh show.
Right.
Because the audience is different.
Right. Yeah. So I think that has a great deal to do with what you're talking about. And my husband will always say, get away from the keyboard, because you're more interesting when you're like performing with your hands and moving, because that's really something. And I'm like, okay. So I try to balance it with that, because it's true. You got to bring your whole self into it. So that's where you're getting it, I think, you know. But the music video was fun. If you can watch Big Bad Dream, that music video.
It is so much
fun. We had a blast making that in John Krieger's basement.
Oh, wow.
And just around town here, too. Not just around town, but anyway.
Well, we're going to come see you one of these shows.
And sadly, we're running out of time.
I'm sorry,
But we're only going to let you go if you promise you will come back.
Yes.
Oh,
please.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We got a new friend. Denise is our friend.
I've got new friends.
Denise LaGrassa.
I'm a lucky duck here.
She is available at deniselagrassa.com. That's LaGrassa.com.
That's where you can buy her music.
Yes, you can get her CD for $10.
Yes.
Look, that's a Starbucks. Right?
Right. And we get to, fill up our gas, you know.
That's right. Trips.
We need the gas money, friends.
That's
Let's
right.
be honest.
Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us
Thank you
tonight.
Very much for having me.
And thanks for the CD.
For Thank you
band.
For being had.
Thank you.
Our news is next right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're still sort of recovering from having Denise LaGrassa in the studio. Yeah. She was so much fun.
She was. I mean, I said, I know you're tired. You did a show up in Madison at 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. You took a little nap. You had to wake up and come down to the station. So she's a fireball, and there's a whole lot going on there.
Oh, yeah, there is. That's a wonderful album. But now we're going to segue into the world of cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we bring in the man who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC, and that would be your doctor, Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Great. How's by you?
I'm tired. It's been a long day. Joseph and I were out doing Pokemon Go all day.
Oh,
today
wow.
is Go Fest, so we were catching lots and lots of Mega Mewtwo X's.
What language are you speaking? I don't know, but it sounds like it was fun.
It was fun. We had a lot of fun.
I have visions of Patrick dragging Joseph around going, Dad, I just want to go home. He's going, just a couple more. Right?
He was having fun today. He actually enjoyed himself.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
By the way, has Christine told you what is going to happen when we join you in a few weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
The list of things that are going to happen that the two of them are playing. By the way, they're in the living room right now listening on the smart speaker playing Yahtzee.
Oh, and, good. Oh, we've got to play games.
Making plans for all the things that you guys are going to be doing together.
But the one that is surprising both of us, we have, over the past week, we've been seeing more and more ads for this Minions film.
And okay. we actually watch the commercials. Every time it's a Minions commercial, we stop and watch it. And I said, uh-oh, we have to go see the movie.
It actually looks so kind of fun.
That's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to, of course, we've got to go to LAX. We've got to go to the museum at LAX, which we really enjoy.
That's a great museum. Yeah, the Flight Path Museum.
We have to go looking for peacocks.
Peacocks, yeah.
We may be going
out in Arcadia.
We may be going to a beach. Oh, Lord knows we have to go shopping at some point. We got to play games at night. I mean, it's going to be a jam-packed week.
But we're going to segue now into the world of cyberspace. And should we first just jump in with both feet to what a week it has been for, poor Meta and Instagram.
Yeah, Meta lost their mind, completely lost their mind, and then found it on Friday.
Right.
Back on Tuesday, Meta was announcing a new tool that they came up with, which is this image tool they're calling Muse Image. It's an AI tool that they build into their AI app, and they're building it into Instagram stories. They're building it into WhatsApp, and they're saying it's going to come soon to Facebook. And it's really kind of Meta's version of OpenAI or Google's sort of AI image generator. So you can go and, using text, kind of whip up a cartoonish image. You can sit there and say, hey, put Steve and Johnny on the beach and put fireworks behind them and do all that stuff. And it's really kind of just a way for you to have a lot of fun and mock up really fun images. The other thing is, behind the scenes, every image has this invisible watermark in it. So you can kind of go and ask Meta, hey, is this an AI image or is it real? And Meta would tell you. Absolutely free of charge. So Muse Image is just another AI tool, but what were they thinking? Apparently, Wired discovered this, and a lot of people also followed up and said, you know, this is going to be built into Instagram, and if your Instagram account is public, in other words, if anyone, not just your followers, can see your posts and see your reels, anyone using Muse Image could at mention you, in other words, the at sign and then your name, and then take your pictures and use your pictures to create AI images of you without you knowing about it. In other words, no one's going to ask you if they could take anything that you posted, use it as training model to create a picture of, you know, Mike Ditka rooting for the Eagles, Steve King as a baker,
right? With flour all over him,
and of course Meta, with all of its money and all the intelligentsia it has, they could see nothing wrong with this.
Yeah,
no, and especially after how well Sora went when it launched.
Yeah.
By the way, the only way that you could fix this was you had to opt out of letting Meta take your images and let other people make AI images of you. They didn't let you opt into this. It was on for everybody by default. It's like, what the hell are you thinking?
Really?
By the way, even if you go and turn that off, the worst part about it was all the images that people had already made of you, they continued to exist. They weren't being deleted, and you would never know that they were out there.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, when Meta announced this on Tuesday, no one was happy. Everybody was upset. It's like, wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this. I've spent my lifetime uploading images to Instagram. You're now going to let people take those images of me and make AI images of me doing things that I don't know about or I don't approve on. SAG-AFTRA, which is the
that's our union,
the big union, they have a quote, and it's brilliant.
It is
anything other than a clear and conspicuous opt-in for these types of Instagram users' images is unacceptable and an utter miscalculation of public sentiment regarding the obvious dangers and harms inherent in such use.
Amen.
So SAG-AFTRA saying, what the hell are you doing, Mark Zuckerberg?
Yep. But don't you love
creative artists?
Zuckerberg's reaction was, his quote was, "We've heard the feedback that this feature missed the mark, so it's no longer available."
Missed the mark, yeah, you think?
Wow.
So
wow.
Good grief.
They've turned it off. That said, if you're looking for another AI image generator, Muse Image is still available. You just can't do the at and the person's name mm-hmm. to create images of your friends easily. You could actually download those images and upload them yourself and put them up. By the way, one thing that I didn't see a lot of people in the media talk about, the at mention thing certainly got a whole bunch of attention because mm-hmm. I don't want people making AI images of me. But one of the things that Muse Image is doing is actually kind of cool. Is if you're an advertiser, you're a small business or whatever, you can now use Muse Image to do A/B testing for your ads. So in other words, you create an ad and then post it to Instagram, and Instagram AI would then change the image left or right to see who could actually convert that into more sales. That's actually like a really big story. It's a neat way of using AI, mm-hmm. but everybody's talking about the at mention story.
Is there any movement anywhere in the universe to make opt-in mandatory?
It would be very nice if that happened. My guess is if it's going to happen, it's going to come from Europe and not from the United States.
Sadly, I think you're right.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay, before we close out this subject, is there anything one can do if they're concerned that in those 3 days the pictures could have been lifted and could have been used and abused? Is there anything you can do to find out if, in fact, that happened to you?
No, there really isn't. And it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Fortunately, not a lot of people knew about this Muse Image tool, didn't know that you had the ability. So for the 3 or 4 days it was on, yes, it is technically possible. I'm not sure that people were using it. If they were, they were using it for famous people and not for your friends and coworkers or even your enemies. It's just one of those things where I think they turned it on, didn't think about it, and then everybody just reacted the way they should have, and now it's gone.
And now I'm feeling guilty because I use ChatGPT to do basically the same thing.
Like
I put your son as a World Cup soccer player yesterday.
And it's a very cool picture.
And then
I thought it was a great picture.
And then Christine said, have him do the Viking row. So I went and knowing that that's something from the World Cup, the Norwegians do, but ChatGPT made him a Viking. With a Viking horned hat. And I thought they got that one really wrong.
Yeah.
But I do feel a little bit guilty about using that, sir. But it's fun. Okay.
It's fun.
We've got so much stuff to cover. We're going to take a break and come back. And I think we should talk about the TSA PreCheck because I had a conversation at the airport just a couple weeks ago about that very thing. So there's some news on that front and a whole lot more tech news with Dr. Patrick Crispin coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And what's the deal with this TSA PreCheck touchless ID?
Now for Android, yes.
Whoops, there's Patrick.
Digital ID. Yep, sorry about that.
That's okay.
We missed.
Forgot to pop me up.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Let me slap myself on the hand.
Oh, okay. No worries. That's okay. We'll just edit this out, and when we go to air, we'll, you know.
So it'll be perfect.
Perfect. This is rehearsal, right?
Yep.
Okay. So back in November, I was saying that you could use a digital ID in Apple's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually use that at TSA PreChecks, including O'Hare, Midway, Lambert, but you had to have an iPhone. That's changed. If you are enrolled in TSA PreCheck, that's a sort of system where they do some extra background checks on you and then you kind of give them some extra money.
Yeah, you pay.
You have to have it. You have to have a valid passport as well. So you have to be PreCheck and have a passport and have an Android phone. There is now a new tool called TSA PreCheck Touchless ID, which is basically Face ID or Windows Hello for TSA.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just stand in front of a camera and it takes your picture and it says, oh, hi, Johnny. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the check for TSA. Now, you can sign up either through a participating mainline airline. So that could be an American, Alaska, and Hawaiian, which recently merged, Delta, Southwest, or United. And there's a new part here. You can actually opt in with Google Wallet, and that's supported by hundreds of things. I'm going to put a link to the show notes. It's .gov/tuckle-ie.
Uh-oh, you're kind of...
You can just
something is going on you, and it must be on your end, where all of a sudden you're
garbling.
Let's see. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Let me see what's going on. No, I'm still on 6 gigahertz.
Okay, we sound great now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you're good.
Sorry. You were saying that it's tsa.gov/touchless.id?
Touchless-ID.
Okay.
The big thing, remember, is if you're going through a mainline air carrier, you do need to sign up for this through their app. In other words, if you're using American, you go through the American app, Delta, the Delta app, Southwest app, and you have to do it through each and every airline that you're doing if you're going to go through the mainline carriers. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to through the Google Wallet, you can just do it through Google Wallet. This is available at 65 airports, including O'Hare and Midway, but not Burbank. It is available at LAX, but not Burbank. Sorry about that. My guess is when they open up the new Burbank terminal in October, then it will be available. Here's the thing. I remember we did talk about touchless ID, the digital ID in Apple Wallet. That's a little different than this. So if you have an iPhone, you can actually go through TSA PreCheck touchless ID as well. You just have to kind of re-sign up, and you'll go through the your airline's app to sign up for that. So again, it's really you just kind of have TSA PreCheck, you have your passport, you open up the app for your airline, you basically scan your passport and put in your known traveler number, and from now on when you try to check in, it's like, oh, hi, welcome, come on in.
Well,
go through.
A TSA agent was talking about this at Midway Airport just a week or so ago when we were there. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, but that's only for Apple phones. So he wasn't up to the news. I'm going to do this, but does this mean that I also have to have, since I don't have real ID yet, I travel with my passport card. Am I still going to be required to have something like that, my real ID or my passport along with me? I just won't have to show it unless they ask.
Yeah, basically, you even if you have a digital wallet ID, you still have to have your real physical ID with you just in case for some reason or other they say, hey, can you prove that you're really Johnny? Mm-hmm. And then you have to pull out your ID.
Okay. Well, I like the idea. There's a part of me that kind of hesitates about giving up my passport information to an airline, but it's going to make, hopefully.
They know it when you're flying anyhow.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. By the time you're on the plane, they've got it. So.
By the way, a little background story I should tell you that I found really funny. One of the things I do when I'm working on my show notes is I'll write up the notes very carefully, read them, and then I'll copy and paste it into Claude, which is an AI tool, and say, okay, can you check this out and read it for me?
Uh-huh.
And Claude kept correcting me, saying, you need to mention that Hawaiian Airlines is one of the airlines that's considered. And I had to reply back over and over again, no, Hawaiian Airlines is not one of the mainline airlines because Alaska and Hawaiian merged, but they're not. So it's no longer Hawaiian Airlines. It's Alaska. But you know what? I gave up and just said, so if you're flying American, Alaska, Hawaiian, there you go. Claude, you win. Delta, Southwest, or United, open up the app.
Well, actually, I was a little surprised when you said that because I did not know that it happened. As much news as I tried to digest every day, I'd miss that story.
Yeah, that was under our radar. And by the way, if you're trying to copy this stuff, don't waste your time trying to copy this.
No.
Everything Patrick is talking about tonight will be in his show notes, which will be on our blog within about 24 to 48 hours.
Now, Patrick, we're going to have to take a break for news in just a minute, but you have a story about the end of the disc-based games, meaning you won't have anything to hold in your hand if you're buying games?
Yeah, and we can talk more about this when we get back. But remember when you used to go to Walmart or GameStop mm-hmm. and you would buy
By the way, this is Patrick
games?
Saying, you remember when?
Yes.
every segment I do this. Sorry about that.
It's Andy Rooney.
Yeah. So the days of, well, I mean, when was the last time you bought a DVD? When was the last time you bought a CD?
The last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay. Actually, three last
but
week. But
when was the last, I mean, this is, we're going to get to the point where you may not be buying physical games anymore. It'll be something. We'll talk more about this after the break.
We'll take a break because for people who do buy games, that might come as a big surprise. Some people like to touch it and hold it. It's kind of like having your newspaper in your hand as opposed to reading it online, a book, you know, that sort of thing. And there's a really important hacking story coming up. And again, I want you to listen very carefully because Patrick's going to tell you how to find out if your email has been a victim of this June 2026 hacking nonsense. It's very weird. But again, stay with us. It's Tech Talk with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Yes. Steve King and Johnny Futman at WGN Radio.
Oh, your lips are moving. You're speaking. I have my headphones turned off.
We get requests for AC/DC and stuff. We do.
All your friends.
And your point is?
I know.
We are talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, I am so in the minority on this. You're talking about how a lot of physical media is going to go away, especially when it comes to games. I'm so old school. I want to own and have a physical copy of anything that I'm going to.
Well,
listen to a game I'm going to play. I don't want cyberspace to suddenly decide, oh no, that's going away now.
I may be wrong, but Patrick, I suspect that his opinion is a lot like gamers who are not happy about not having a physical CD or DVD.
Yeah, a lot of gamers are furious about this right now. Rockstar Games, you might not know about them, but they're the ones who make Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto 6 is launching November 19th. It's going to be absolutely huge. They announced that when they release, their retail version isn't going to contain a disc at all. It's just going to have a digital download code for
it. You're going to have a box with nothing in it?
You'll have a box that has a little card with it with a number in it, sort of like those gift cards you get, and you have to then enter to download it. You're going to spend $80, $79.99 for the standard edition, $99.99 for the ultimate edition, to get a box that has nothing in it but a card. For a digital download.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't even have to go do that. You can do a pre-order right now. Rockstar is not going to release a disc now or in the future. Sony, a few days later, said, you know, coming January 28th, we're probably going to do the same thing. We're going to stop producing physical discs for all new PlayStation games.
Oh.
Their quote was, new games will be released on PlayStation Store and at retailers in digital formats only.
You should see the look on our producer's face. Jonathan, you are a gamer. What's your reaction to this?
I do a certain amount of gaming, and I'm against it. I believe in the physical media. Actually, my 17-year-old nephew is a big physical media preservationist. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of my hero for that one. But I'm always concerned about the licensing issues. Are you purchasing and buying it and now you own the disc? Or are you now just licensing the code to play the game?
You are licensing it. You are licensing it.
So if you have purchased and licensed this code, once you have this, are you able to burn your own physical disc?
No. Nobody burns a disc anymore.
Can you share it? Can I buy it and share it with
you? No. No. There might be a way for you to share a game with somebody for a short amount of time, but they really don't want everybody playing a game to have their own license.
So basically, you don't own this. You are renting the option to play this until the company
Pretty
says,
much.
No, you can't do it anymore.
So what?
Welcome to the world of video games.
What if you live in a rural area and you've got really bad Wi-Fi?
Your life is going to be hideous.
Yeah.
Because when you go and download these multi-gigabyte games, you are going to be there for days.
Wow.
There's nothing you can do. There's no way around it. Now, key point here is you're still going to be able to go to Walmart and GameStop and Best Buy, and there will be games on the shelves, but the boxes are going to be empty. There's not going to be a disc in it. There's only going to be a digital code. This doesn't change anything you own, so if you have discs already, you can keep using those. This is basically all new games starting in 2028. But I will tell you, if Rockstar and Sony are doing this, everybody's doing it. It's just, it's going to happen. There's no question.
Am I correct? And this is as simple as we don't want to spend the money it costs to make a physical product.
Part of it, but I also do think that there is a licensing aspect to this where you have a resale market. If I go buy a disc right now of a game and then I play the game, and when I'm done with the game, I give the game to somebody else and they play the game. They give the game to somebody else and they sell it to GameStop, and GameStop then sells it to somebody else.
Yep.
They play it again. Or I have to go to Rockstar or to Sony or to Bethesda or whoever and pay every time I play the game or want to pay the game. It's better for the industry if everybody has to pay instead of having the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
That said, and there are a lot of layoffs in the game industry this year because not a lot of people are buying games right now.
Huh. Speculation on our part, but what do you speculate this will do to the collectible end of the gaming industry?
I think there will continue to be a collectible, but the big thing, remember, the collectible is only going to work if you have a device on which you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
So the collectible market, you will not be able to play it on the new consoles because the new consoles are not going to have external drives or internal drives for you to stick a media into it and spin up the disc and play it off of that. So you'll have a disc. I'm not sure what you're going to play it on.
Let's put the nail in the coffin of physical media. If I buy that box with that digital code inside and I'm able to download that game, it's not actually mine. So can they take it away at any point, just make it disappear from my machine?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, and that's basically a similar story is that Sony, basically, people had gone onto the PlayStation store, bought some movies and games, and then Sony said, those are no longer available. So the things that you had purchased are gone. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's actually a really fascinating story.
Wow.
You know who else we need to talk to about this? Our friend Aaron Bearden.
Oh, yes.
He is, you may have heard him a couple weeks ago when we were in Florida, Patrick. He has the collectible cards and games store in Panama City, Florida.
And
he also does a huge online business and does a TV show about this.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Mm. Okay. I just put the nail in the coffin of that because I honestly thought that that's impossible that they could snatch it away from you once you've paid for it. But
no,
it's not technically yours. You're just basically renting it.
And I find this fascinating. I know I'm kind of a little bit comparing apples and oranges here, but fascinating to me that the gaming industry is saying no more physical product, and yet the recording industry is saying, oh, you want albums? You want vinyl? You want CDs? Sure, let's do this. You'll pay, but but they are now producing more physical products than they have in years.
Okay. Well,
we may have to talk to. Is it your nephew? What did you say? He is a physical gaming archivist.
It's not just gaming. Like anything, he loves everything. Like VHS, 8-tracks.
God bless him.
Cassettes. Anything that has physical media. He got a reel to reel recently. I don't know if it was from a thrift store or a garage sale, but
we need to talk to him.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's my kind of guy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess. And soon, he will live like I live, with closets filled landings in our house covered with CDs from
Floyd. He's getting there.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I hope he can find
a woman.
But
even so, you still have more shoes.
I do not. I do. Stop it. We're going to take a break. I'm going to have to reason with this man. Stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And again, don't worry about trying to write all this stuff down. It will magically appear on our blog within about the next 24 to 48 hours, all of Dr. Patrick Crispin's tech notes.
Mm-hmm. So in the world of hacks, let's go back to the night that you taught us all about.
Remember when?
I've been pwned, right? P-W-N-E-D, right?
Have I been pwned?
Yes.
Yep. Have I been pwned? If you haven't been there in a while, haveibeenpwned.com. You need to go there and you need to check in on each and every one of your email addresses, particularly if you have a Windows box. Mm-hmm. Back on June 15th, Have I Been Pwned added a new entry called June 2026 Stealer Logs that contained, I wish I was making this number up, 56 million unique email addresses.
Million.
These are unique email addresses, 56 million and 124 million unique passwords, all pulled from InfoStealer malware logs. Basically, we've talked about InfoStealers. It's a malware program that is installed on your computer and kind of runs on your computer without your knowledge. And when you log into websites, it takes your username and password and copies it and sends it to the bad guys. Mm. What makes the June 2026 logs, the Stealer logs, really concerning to me is that these email addresses weren't stolen from a database. They were taken from infected Windows computers. In other words, these were people's computers had been infected with an InfoStealer. The InfoStealer got their username and password, put it in multiple databases all over. So this is really, 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 really scary. We don't know when this infection happened. It could have happened a while ago, but June 15th is the date that they added this to the site. My recommendation is go to haveibeenpwned.com, P-W-N-E-D, enter your email addresses, and the site is going to tell you where your email addresses have appeared in breaches. Mm-hmm. If you see an entry called June 2026 Stealer Logs, that means more likely than not that you have malware, InfoStealer malware on your computer, and that's been stealing your passwords. So don't go change your passwords yet. You've got to get rid of that malware first. Only after you get rid of the malware can you go and change your password at every site that you visited. But you need to go to Have I Been Pwned, check every one of your email addresses, and if you see an email address that you own and it's in the June 2026 Stealer logs, that's a big red flag. Something's wrong on your computer.
And it works very quickly when you go to haveibeenpwned.com. I did 6 accounts today. Two of them came up nothing. You said, oh, yay, there's nothing out there. And then a couple of them came up with the only thing that came up was that AT&T breach. Remember that?
I've got a couple of email addresses that showed up in like really, really old breaches.
Yes.
Your email address is probably going to show up in lots of breaches, but you want to be looking out for the June 2026 Stealer logs breach. If you're in that, that is a big glaring red sign. It's not some website that got hacked. You got hacked.
You did, yes. It is very... I'll just say it this way. I felt good when I realized, whew, there's no June 26th. Okay, let me go over here. No June 26th. And I just kept doing them. And I tell you, every time I would hit send, I would think, oh, please, Lord, don't let there be a June 26th. So it'll make you feel good when you don't find a June 26th. But if you do, then you know you got to take some action. You got to get rid of the malware that's on your machine ASAP.
But let me pause you on this. If you find that... StephenJohnny dot blah 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 is one of the things that's been hacked. Now you say you have to go to every place that you might have logged into with that email address.
Every place that uses that email address and that password, you're going to need to change it.
Mm-hmm. But you should have different passwords.
Yeah.
So
at every website.
At every website. Yeah. Listen to me. Like, yeah, because I've already checked and I wasn't pwned, so I'm feeling all high and mighty here. No, very seriously. And again, for those of you who are saying, I didn't get that address, it's going to be in the show notes. So just relax and just do this and take some action. Please spell the website to check if your computer has malware. Again, I'll spell it one more time, and then I'll tell you to check the show notes within 24 hours when we post them. So you're going to go to haveibeenpwned.com. Have I been pwned? They could have come up with an easier website, but that's it. Haveibeenpwned.com. When you get there, you'll put in your email address, and then magically information comes up, and it may freak you out, but it may inspire you to do something to get rid of the bad stuff that's on
better
your computer.
Better to know than not to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Then what is the deal with Apple testing camera equipped AirPods?
This is actually an interesting story. It sounds scary, but stick with me. For about the past 4 years, Apple's been working on camera equipped AirPods Pro. In other words, AirPods with cameras built into each earbud.
Into your ears.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you need to see my ears? No, no, no. It's cameras facing forward. Apple has this tool called Visual Intelligence. It's already built into most newer phones. And you kind of hold up your phone and then it can tell you, you know, point it at business and it says, oh, here's the hours, here's the reviews, here's menus, here's ordering. You could do this on a Google phone as well. You can point it at a dog and say, okay, what sort of dog is it or what sort of animal is this? You can have it read text to you or summarize it or translate it, turn a flyer into a calendar event. It's all this stuff is built into your phone. The problem is nobody knows about it because nobody uses visual intelligence, which is one of the reasons why Apple's kind of making this new Siri mode and part of the camera app in iOS 27. But imagine if you didn't actually have to pull out your phone at all. If there were cameras that were already pointed forward and you could then say, hey, could you read that to me? Or, hey, what building is this?
Wow.
Your AirPods are going to have that. You can say, hey, I'm going to open up my refrigerator and say, okay, what can I make for dinner tonight? And it just looks and says, okay, here's the stuff that's going on. Or, hey, instead of, you know, the turn-by-turn directions, it can sit there and say, okay, you see that red brick building? Go past the red brick building and talk you through that.
Wow.
Now, the question that a lot of people have is, okay, but what about privacy? I'm not sure I want people walking around with cameras on their ears recording me all the time. The good news is that unlike the Samsung AI glasses or the Meta AI glasses, which I hope we'll talk about tonight, Apple's AirPods will not be designed for taking photos or videos. In other words, they're just going to be working with Siri. They'll send information to Siri and you just can interact with the world through Siri. And when the cameras are on, the light will be on. You can see it. I think from an accessibility perspective, this is absolutely transformative. This is the same level of category of tool as Be My Eyes or Microsoft Scene AI, but it's hands-free. It's building a device that if you buy this, it's going to be in hundreds of millions of years going forward. No phone to hold up, no glasses that you have to be trained how to use. Apple's kind of working on this right now. When's it going to be available? We don't know. Mark Gurman reported in May in Bloomberg that camera AirPods were in late stage testing. They're kind of maybe 2027. But it also could be that this got killed. Mm-hmm. The iOS beta 27 code actually has something in it which refers to two cameras on either side of the user's head. So suggesting the software is kind of ready. I'm not sure the hardware is ready or the hardware is ready, but the software isn't. We don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But when it comes, I'll let you know.
That's interesting. Again, why talk to anybody? You've got everything going on in your ears, right?
Yep.
Let's take a moment and talk about a story that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, and that's the Meta Glasses free to veterans who are either blind or losing their vision. Now, did
Yep, this is an important story.
Do I understand that that's a fact, that the glasses would be free to the vets?
Absolutely free.
Wow.
Met has been selling these AI-powered Ray-Bans. They also have Oakley smart glasses, and for a couple years, and they look like typical Ray-Bans, and they have a camera and discrete speakers and a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And the current Wayfarer Gen 2 model, so think Buddy Holly glasses, mm-hmm. they start at about $379. They can go up to $459, depending on the frame. And then if you want to put in prescription lenses, it's a little more than that. And basically, it's camera, speakers, and a microphone that get connected to Meta AI. There's also a newer version, which is the Ray-Ban display that has sort of a display built into it. That's not what we're talking about here today. But last month, Meta announced that it's donating Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses to every legally blind veteran in America, more than 130,000 people.
Wow. This is wonderful.
Absolutely fantastic. They're partnering with the Blinded Veterans Association, BVA, to provide hands-on training, webinars, training guide. So you're not just going to be given these glasses and then have to stick it in a drawer or figure it out on your own. The Blinded Veterans Association are going to teach you how to do it. Who qualifies? Any honorably discharged or active duty U.S. service member who qualifies for the VA's Blind Rehabilitation Service under Directive 1174. So if you have significant visual impairment, legal mm-hmm. blindness, low vision, something that's interfering with your daily living, and you are a retired or active service veteran, you can get it. The way you get this is you actually have to join the Blind Veterans Association.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely free. There's a website. I'll put a link to it. It's bva.org, and you can sign up and get the membership. And then as a member of the BVA, you get the glasses free of charge. It's just part of it. It's one of the benefits of membership. If you aren't sure whether you're qualified or if you just have questions, there's actually a separate web form you can fill out that says, hey, give me more information. You can, but not, this is not send me the glasses, but tell me more about it.
Right.
But if you are an established member, you're going to get them automatically. If you're a new member, you'll get them shortly. BVA.org/membership. Sign up. If you're a blind veteran, again, you can qualify under the VA's Blind Rehabilitation Service under Directive 1174, and you've got documentation from, you know, the VA or from your optometrist or a doctor showing that you have visual impairment. You get free Meta AI glasses, not the display glasses, because obviously that wouldn't make sense.
Right.
These are the ones that talk to you.
That's amazing.
But basically, $379 AI glasses for free.
And again, if you missed this, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's all going to be in the show notes that'll be on our blog.
But with all the negative tech stuff that we talk about,
is wonderful.
That is a really cool story.
We started with a bad story about Meta
yeah.
and ended with a good one.
Well, actually, I'm going to ask you if you can stick for 5 minutes on the other side of the news, because you've got everyone's attention about have I been pawned? Because they want to know, well, if I find out that I do have malware on my computer, what do I do with it? And how do I make it go away at, 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday? So we'll just keep you for a few on the other side of the news for George and Mike and Jim and all you guys who checked in and said, so what do I do now? We will get an answer on the other side of the news coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. Patrick Crispin has been nice enough to hang with us for a few more minutes because we had some questions about the Have I Been Pawned?
PWND.com. And apparently a lot of folks have been putting in their email address to find out if there was anything related to June 2026 that relates to their own account. And a listener from 847 sent us a screenshot. I sent it to you, Patrick. That's the Madison Square Garden Sports. It's kind of confusing because it's dated June 2026. The sports and entertainment company, Madison Square Garden Sports, the group later published the alleged data, which included almost 10 million unique emails. That is not what we're looking for, correct?
You are looking for the words June 2026 Steeler logs. If you don't see June 2026 Steeler logs, that means that the passwords came from someplace other than your computer. But if you see June 2026 Steeler logs and only June 2026 Steeler logs, you know that there's info stealer software on your computer that you need to be aware of. How do you get rid of it if mm-hmm. you find it? So you go and search, and it turns out that your email address is in something called June 2026 stealer logs. Again, got to see those four words, June 2026 stealer logs. If you have Windows, you're going to open up and basically do a Windows Security Defender virus scan. And you just open up settings, privacy and security, Windows security, virus threat and protection, run a full scan, not a quick scan. I'll put this in the show notes. If you really find something deeply embedded and you can't get rid of it, when you go through that, there's also the option to do Windows Defender offline. It's sort of an option in the same menu. And that restarts your PC and scans it before Windows even fully loads, and you might want to try that. Even after that, I would go and download, if you don't have it already, Malwarebytes, and run Malwarebytes on your computer, and that's a good second opinion scanner. Mm-hmm. If you have a Mac, and it turns out you're in the June 2026 Stealer logs, that's really kind of rare. That doesn't happen because XProtect and Gatekeeper kind of catch these things before it happens. But again, download Malwarebytes. That's easy for me to say. download Malwarebytes. And there's a free Mac version for it, and just have it scan your computer, and that will remove sort of the Amos and Atomic Stealer variants of these info stealer tools.
And let me go back to what you were saying about Windows Defender. Years ago, we were not fans of Windows security at all, but Windows Defender, in recent years, has made quantum leaps, and their security, their malware programs are as good as anything on the market, and better than a lot of them.
Yep.
Okay, that answers all those questions. And for listeners who had questions about signing into Instagram using their Facebook login, I'm going to send you a private answer to that question, because we're not going to keep Patrick all night. He was kind enough to answer your question. I will get that to you. Also, the best keyboard for speech to text for mobile phones. He has answered that. So any of your questions that came in during a break, I was feeding them to Patrick. I got your answers. I'll take the time. I'll answer you guys again.
So Patrick is now bloated with questions.
Yes. And you said that you were going to add to the show notes the information about finding malware on your computer, what to do.
Yep.
So everything that we talked about will be available within the next 24 hours or so. And then you all can get it if you go to our blog and link to it from our Facebook page. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What a night.
I guess.
This is fun.
Yes.
And give Joseph a hug from us.
Yes, yes, yes.
I shall.
I'm counting down. 3 weeks. We'll see you. So thank you, Patrick.
Soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Again, if you didn't copy down any of the show notes, don't worry about it.
No.
What you need to do is over the next 24 to 48 hours, go to our blog, and that's Steve and Johnny, and spelled Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. That's where our blog is, and you will find Patrick's show notes. We would love it if you would subscribe to our blog. No charge. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information.
No one else has access to your information. It's just the both of us.
Yep, and you just get an email anytime we do a new blog post.
Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't bug you, because we, you know, if you get an email once or twice a week, it's not like getting spam. We're just saying, hey, you might be interested in this.
And there are some weeks when we wind up doing a little more, and some weeks when not so much.
Oh, and to answer a question that a listener had about why we are interested in getting people to follow us on the blog, we think that the day may come when we're just fed up with Facebook and we may just shut it down. And this way we would be able to continue to communicate with you.
Exactly. And Facebook, Meta, a lot of the social networks are getting a little wonky. Facebook,
well,
in particular.
Zuckerberg's reaction to Muse last week, after people around the world were going, oh no, you can't take my pictures and do whatever you want to do with them. He said, oh, we've had this reaction that's not very favorable, so I guess we'll just pull it.
And how many times did I mention to you just over the past week, in the regular Facebook feed, where are all my friends' stuff?
Yes.
And I go to the friends' pages, and it's stuff from a couple days old.
Yes, it's old.
And it
old.
Keeps repeating old stuff.
And we've talked about this before. You talk to someone or you do a little Google search for something,
yeah.
and then you go to your Facebook page and you're slammed with ads for extra wide shoes for men that have three eyes and no hair. You know, it's like, you're telling me that you're not following me?
Yeah.
Come on. So sometimes you just, I know I do, and you say the same thing. You
sure.
just say, the day will come when this is just enough.
That's why, if you haven't checked out our blog, we really would appreciate it. It's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And as I said earlier, in a couple months or so, around September, there will be a new Steve and Johnny website.
I'm not sure I heard you.
Oh,
because my air conditioner is so loud.
I just happen to remember. The one thing we forgot to talk to Patrick about,
what?
And we wanted to.
What?
Email threads.
Oh.
There were, from two different email accounts this week, both Johnny and I had times when there were emails that were going back and forth that were important, but they were buried and we both missed them because they were number 7 in yeah. this thread. I hate email threads. I want every email to be a new email. This goes back and forth between me and you, period, end of story.
And the other day I said to you, I'm going to start a fresh email because at this point I was up to 7 back and forth with this person. I'm going to start a fresh one because this is the important information I knew. It's going to be there. Well, by the time this person gave me the important information, we were up to 5 more in that
yeah.
thread. I said, this is infuriating.
Well, and I will say that there was one email involving Jessica Grody, who we talked to earlier.
Yes.
And there was something that was kind of key to
yeah.
the conversation we were going to have tonight. And it was buried, and
yes.
we almost missed it.
I found it by accident today when I was going back over that thread. And I know this is a first world problem, and I, you know...
But the point is, there should be a way to say, no.
No.
If I'm sending Jonathan an email, here's the email.
He can answer you in
he
that email.
He can answer me that
but
email.
But we're not going to keep going back and forth
yeah.
on the same email, because it's very easy to lose.
Or you would get a new email saying,
yes.
regarding blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than this is just, oh, you go back to the email you sent and it's buried in the 7th layer, hidden behind the back door, underneath the sewer grate.
I had one the other day that went 13 times back and forth. And
yeah.
I was like, no. Again, I know it's a first world problem. This is not all that serious.
But at the moment, we're living in the first world.
Yeah, well, you're right.
How long that's going to last, that's a
you're right.
totally different discussion.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
On a happy note.
You know, we need to take a break, and I'm going to do an audible. As we take the break, Jonathan, when we come back, could we share what was a very cool moment with the White Sox?
Yes.
We can absolutely do that.
All right, good. We'll take a break and come right back. That's a classic cliffhanger right here on WGN.
That
wow.
was so much fun to watch.
Oh, it was. It was, oh, it was the edge of your couch watching that.
And he said, as he was running second, going to third,
yeah.
he was ignoring the coach. He said they were telling him to stop on second. He said, no.
No, I'm telling him to stop on third from second.
No, this was when he, because he'd already had the home run.
Mm-hmm.
So the final thing of the cycle was the triple.
Yes, yes. Gotcha.
So when he got to second, the coach said, no, stay there. And he said, nope, I'm going yeah. right through.
Sold out crowd.
Yeah.
A huge, huge night. Great final score. And for those who don't understand, because I learned this last night, a cycle in baseball happens when a single batter gets a single, a double, a triple, and a home run
yep.
in the exact same game. And it's happened 7 times in White Sox history. The first time, I think, was in 1922. Yeah, it doesn't happen that often. And
it was so cool.
It was.
I love that it's happening to him because a lot of people, when he joined the Sox, a lot of people say, oh, okay, well, this is the guy who used to play with the Savannah Bananas.
Yes.
And he was kind of a joke, but man, he plays full out.
And then luck would have it, not so good for Nick Kurtz, who was he was planning on being in the All-Star game,
right.
But he was taken out and Tristan was put in on Saturday. So that's huge. So we got Murakami and Tristan Peters on the All-Star. And the only thing that ticks me off, because I'm 100% in the White Sox corner this year, I started back in 20 during COVID when we watched 155 games that season. I said, okay, as a Northsider, uncle, I'm with you. And then things just went south for the Tim Anderson days, and it was not good, but we hung in there. And I'm upset that we can't see the Home Run Derby because it's on Netflix on Monday.
Yeah, that's...
It stinks.
I hate that Major League Baseball. And what was the thing? Jonathan, help me. It was it last Sunday that you had to, what, subscribe to Paramount or what the heck? To see any Major League game.
Yeah, they had the MLB package has that contract with Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what do you think about Netflix being the only place where you can see the Home Run Derby?
Well, the streaming sites are getting big on getting licensing for all of the Major League sports. So
we have to pay.
But to me, you have to pay if you're subscribing to Marquee Network, if you're subscribing to Chicago Sports Network. So if you have already paid for what you thought was a season's worth of your team, and now you're being told, well, but not for this game because we're putting that over here, and now you have to pay something else.
I'll take it a step further, which I disagree with, is when they black out local games because they're local, which I believe is unfair, but it's like, when how Amazon Prime has like Thursday night football games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you don't have Amazon Prime, you have to follow up with the news to find out what happened with your favorite football team if they have a Thursday night game.
So really the only way to completely follow your local team is radio?
Could it be?
Yes.
What a concept.
What a solution.
Well.
For every person who complained about the Indy 500 being on radio, I would look at the text and go, yeah, but what about baseball?
Yeah.
Baseball plays on the radio?
Yep.
Oh, I can't understand why the Indy 500 cars are just going round and round. Well, if you have a good announcer, you kind of, it's theater of the mind, and you're not paying for it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of good. Yeah, we've come full circle from our earlier conversation.
Now, Jonathan, I know you're primarily a Cubs fan.
Mm-hmm, correct.
But you got to admit, the Sox have been pretty interesting this season.
They've been exciting to watch. I'm what I would consider Sox neutral. Like, I do not love nor hate.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I loved the early 90s team when I was a child with the Big Hurt, Blackjack McDowell, Ventura, Ozzie Guillen when he played.
Yep.
I truly believe that the 1994 Chicago White Sox were robbed of a World Series because of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the strike. And the Montreal Expos were on fire when they stopped baseball in the middle of that summer.
Yes.
We could have had a Montreal Expos, Chicago White Sox, 1994 World Series.
Yep.
That's a big question mark. That's a big what if.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're singing our song.
By the way, thank you for putting together that exciting highlight reel, because just the crowd, that was so exciting.
Once that back crack hits, the roar of the crowd, it's magical. It like makes my hair stand up on my arms.
Now, and it was so cool to see the Sox have sold out.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
That is very cool. That's nice to see for Comiskey. I love that.
Yep.
Oh, and thank you for calling it Comiskey.
Yes.
That's all I'll ever call it.
I just saw the t-shirt today. It will always be Comiskey.
Yep.
I love that. It was a great t-shirt. And I also love the Southside Magic t-shirt that has a little gnome that's holding the wand, and he's got the magician's hat on as a nod to Mike Vassell. And I know it sounds goofy, but that man is going to be around because he can talk. He's not just a baseball player. He can talk.
He's got a career as a baseball announcer.
Every time I've seen him interviewed, and he got to tell Muna that he was going to the All-Star, and that was very emotional. And he wasn't reading. He was talking off the cuff.
Have you seen any of the videos of the in the locker room conversations that they have with the Sox?
I have not.
Really? Oh, cool.
They are. It's part of the secret to what they're doing today.
Yep.
Is they are a team. I said to Steve today, they're the huggingest baseball team I have ever seen. These guys, you know, they're... Well,
you mentioned earlier in the show about, like, the magic wand and the magic hat. And I think that type of locker room, that type of clubhouse, that type of dugout, if they're having fun, they're going to have a great season. Yes. That's infectious.
Yep. Remember, I call it the Tim Anderson days because I was wild about him. They have the jacket. If you got a home run, they put the jacket on you. You got to walk around with this goofy jacket on. Well, that was fun. But that's not as fun as having somebody waving the wand over your head and saying, get a home run. And you walk out and you get a freaking home run. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. We'll take a break. We are into the final stretch of the show. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. The last song video, to my knowledge, that was released during Bonnie Tyler's life was released in April of this year. It's called One World, One Home. It was created for the soundtrack of a documentary called Homeless by director Valerio Zanoli. It aims to have a social impact by raising awareness and funds for the fight to end homelessness.
Hmm.
The publisher of One World, One Home and the production company of Homeless are using all the profits from the sale of the original song and the distribution of the documentary to secure affordable housing for underprivileged families. There is a background choir that you would hear a little later in that song. It's the Dallas Street Choir. And some of the videos, some of the scenes included in the video are of homeless people, I believe in Las Vegas. If you get the chance, look up Bonnie Tyler, One World, One Home. You'll find it on YouTube.
So Bonnie Tyler, who was living in Portugal, who's from Wales, is singing with a group from Dallas with visuals from Las Vegas.
Yeah. It's a very powerful video.
Yes. Her voice, it sounded like it was a bit of a struggle for her, but it adds
but again,
to the emotion.
Some of that was just the way her voice was, and she's a little older, and she's still...
But it adds to the emotion, too, because having not seen the video as you have, I'm listening with my headphones and going, wow, this is... It's not a toe tapper.
You should... Yeah. If you want to see an extraordinary video, just look it up right now. Bonnie Tyler, One World, One World, One Home. Hmm. You'll find it on YouTube, and it's an incredible video.
Wow. You're right. I did check. That was the last thing that she had recorded in a studio, and that was in spring of this year.
That we are rapidly running out of time, and there is so much stuff that we should mention. That coming up next week, we have a full show, and we're going to be welcoming back our friends from the Empty Pockets, Erica Brett and Josh Solomon. They have some new music that they've got coming out.
Oh, we have to get an update on what happened with
Will's
Place concert, because Will's Place is celebrating its three-year anniversary. They had their big benefit concert on Thursday, and we were out of town. So we weren't able to attend. They had quite a lineup of people. So if you were there, you were lucky at the North Shore Performing Arts Center.
And speaking of Will's Place in Skokie, right across the street, one of our favorite places in Skokie, the Skokie Theater, And we understand the Skokie Theater is now under new management, mm-hmm. and that the new managers, they're doing what they can. They want to kind of rehabilitate the theater. I mean, it's a wonderful theater.
I thought it had been gutted and redone because we did a concert with Doyle Dykes there.
We did several concerts.
And the seating was beautiful, brand new seats. And
But the people who have now taken it over say, we want to make it even better.
Probably bigger because if I'm not mistaken, it was like 150 seats, maybe 200.
There's only so big they can go.
That's true.
And if you don't know the history of the theater, this theater was originally part of Charlie Chaplin's original movie company back in the 20s or before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a historic theater.
We should get the folks that have purchased it because it sat there. And every time we drive up Lincoln Avenue and past Will's Place and there's the marquee, I know we say, well, gee, I wonder what's going to happen to the theater. You want it to stick around.
And I mean, that one block has three of my favorite places. It's got the Skokie Theater, Will's Place, and Oh Yeah Comics.
Yes.
So I'm good with all that.
Yeah. And we have a friend that's going to be moving. After living in her bungalow, her Chicago bungalow, for 42 years, she's going to be moving right down the street in that high-rise that's on the corner.
Yeah, the new high-rise that is on the northwest corner of...
Is that Dempster? No.
No, it's Oakton.
Oakton and Lincoln.
And Lincoln.
Lincoln,
yeah.
She said she's high enough in that building she can see the Chicago skyline.
Well, cool.
Maybe she'll invite us over and we can see it from there.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should get somebody on from that's purchased the theater, though. Find out what their plans are. Because one of the thrills of my lifetime was to have our name on that marquee when we were emceeing the Doyle Dykes concert. And we also did a concert there with Jan Close.
We did Jan Close.
And,
we did a couple with Doyle Dykes, Jan Close. And
with Annie. No, not Annie.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, you're right.
I see her dancing.
Dancing and playing her
fiddle.
Her fiddle. Oh, this is horrible.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
She's throwing things at the radio now. She's listening to us.
And she's so talented. Oh, my gosh. I'm embarrassed. Anyway.
It's brain fade.
Yeah. And we didn't even have crackers to snack on tonight.
You know what we didn't get to mention?
What?
The Mackinac Mackinaw race.
Did that get much attention?
I didn't see a whole lot about it, but apparently it's this weekend, and I believe...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Because last year we had our buddy Barry Butler, who always goes out with the
boats.
And
I think he may be out there even as we speak.
Ah, well, we have to track him down, too.
There's so much stuff that we didn't get. And one of the things we wanted to talk about tonight was attention span. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
And I guess we can pick up on that next week. We've got to talk next week if it hasn't been talked to death. The restaurant in California... That's getting some attention because they are not a playground. They're a restaurant. And if you bring your children to our restaurant...
And they cause damage.
We will fine you.
Yep.
And one family was fined over $300 because of the behavior of their kids, which blows my mind. What could they have done in a restaurant? But
Oops.
Oh, that's going to shut me up, right?
Here comes Big Plug Bob.
Yeah, he's going to drive right over me.
The blue lights are starting to flash, and he's...
Whoa! He's got a duck.
He's serious this morning.
He's gunning the motor now.
Yeah, he's riding on his Zamboni, and that means it is time for the last call. If you would like to be the last caller... At 312-981-7200 and win some goodies from this year's Radio Palace. If you haven't won anything within the past 2 months or 6 weeks, whichever come first, 312-981-7200. Get your dialing figures ready, as they used to say in Top 40 Radio. Get your dialing figures ready.
Mm-hmm.
Call the hotline. 312-981-7200, and you could win some goodies from this here radio place. What are you owing?
News just broke
of
a political nature.
Oh.
Senator Lindsey Graham has died.
Oh, no.
71 years old, a sudden and brief illness. He just returned from Ukraine, Kyiv, Ukraine, where he met with Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Wow. He's been in the Senate since 2003. It has been confirmed this morning that he's passed away. I didn't realize he was only 71. His family appreciates prayers at this time and asks for privacy during this incredibly difficult time. He was chairman of the Senate Budget Committee and was seeking a fifth six-year Senate term in November.
And from all appearance, had been in good health.
Yeah. Well, they said it was a sudden illness.
I mean, if anybody was paying attention to political things health-wise, it was Mitch McConnell that has been the subject of a lot of speculation. But Lindsey Graham, that's a real surprise.
It is. Emergency personnel responded to a call for cardiac arrest at his Capitol Hill home just a few hours ago, according to police scanner audio obtained by NBC News. Photographs reviewed showed that paramedics carried a person on a stretcher from his home to an awaiting ambulance. Police cars and fire trucks were on the scene. But again, his family has confirmed that he did pass. He was fresh off a trip to Kyiv, Ukraine, where he met with Zelensky on Friday. He'd been scheduled to appear on Meet the Press this morning. Wow. That just came up as a news flash on my computer screen.
Whatever your political allegiance happens to be, our sympathies to Lindsey Graham's family and friends on the loss of that's just out of the blue.
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, if you looked at the man on Friday when he was in Ukraine,
he looked perfectly healthy.
And I know that kind of travel is very taxing on any person, even a healthy person, but wow. So you'll be hearing more about the passing of Senator Lindsey Graham as the day goes on.
Okay, we'll take a break, and more coming up at WGN.
Yep. Losing time. Yep.
Nope. Can't stay. Oh!
Yes.
That reminds me.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new record coming out.
And Saturday was his birthday.
Yes.
Yes, that's the one and only Red Peters.
And if you would like to hear the closing song, just look up Red Peters, the closing song on YouTube, and you will find out why we will never play it unless it's our very last night.
So remember, if you hear the whole song during this segment of the show, we ain't coming back. In fact, we probably aren't going to be on any radio anywhere if we play the whole song. And if you listen to it, you'll know.
Again, technically, at this time of the morning, could we legally play it? Yeah, we could.
But we're in safe harbor, as they say.
Yeah, got your safe harbor.
Yes. So,
next week, full show, 9 o'clock, empty pockets. We'll talk car stuff. A lot of car stuff to talk about, too, with Tom Appel.
A whole lot of stuff. And I want to talk about fair food next week, too, because they've announced the bizarre things that are going to be offered at fairs.
Okay.
Because Lord knows we need to fatten up Americans, so let's do that. Let's do our part, you know.
Yeah. We ain't fat enough.
That's right.
So it is our first week back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick tonight just because I feel like picking tonight.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to pick too much or it'll never heal.
But I'm gonna it'll pick. Scab over and it'll
will,
be
itching. Yeah. So I'm going to go, since it's our first week back, I'm going to go with line one.
Ooh.
And line one is got me all choked up. But I believe it's a Marlo. Hi, Marlo. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jackson, Tennessee.
Tennessee. Well, how cool is that?
Marlo, that's down the road from where I was born. Do you know that?
Where were you born at?
I was born in Ripley, Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness. I can walk down there. You sure?
Oh, my gosh. My family is from Frog Jump, Tennessee, Marlo.
All righty.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Well, let me tell you, my daddy is from Dyersburg. I know you know Dyersburg.
Yes, ma'am.
How about it? And I even went to UT Martin.
Oh, you close to Jackson, Tennessee.
I know.
You're close. I know I was listening to Steve one night. He said he was on Dick Clark show in 69.
Yeah.
Okay, I was on there in 1983.
For what?
You were. What'd you do?
Well, we were the Jacksonians here, but they changed our name to Lanier and Company. We was on there in 1983 in March.
Really?
Wow.
The Jefferson Starship.
Whoa.
How cool is that?
Did they change your name because it was too much like the Jacksons, Jackson 5?
Yeah, it was close to it.
Oh, and they had the clout, right?
They had the clout. So my brother, he was doing the lead singing at the time. Since then, he passed away, and I took off.
Wow.
Now, I got a song. I got a video out on YouTube, Marlo Lanier, Understand, and you'll see me singing and playing my saxophone.
Oh, wait. Now, take it slow. How do we find you on YouTube? Marlo?
Yeah, M-A-R-L-O.
Mm-hmm.
Lanier, L-A-N-I-E-R, and the name of the song is Understanding. And you'll see me singing and playing my saxophone.
Very cool. We'll be watching that when we get home tonight for sure.
Well,
that's
awesome. I've been trying to get an interview on y'all's show, but, you know, I got a lot of good background, you know, what I used to do, you know.
Yeah.
Before the D Soul Train, but Don Cornelius was sick at the time.
Oh, my gosh. You do have a good history.
Yeah, so, you look in there, you see us. Yeah, but my brother passed away, so I sound so much alike, and so I decided to do some recording.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been taking care of him so long.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm trying to get me a record deal.
Isn't everybody, though, Marlo? That's the hard thing.
But the good thing is these days, Marlo, you can do a whole lot with social media and just putting stuff out yourself, and you don't
YouTube.
Have to give money to a big record company. You can keep all the money yourself and just make your own career that way.
But I'm old school, man. I'm sorry to say that. I'd rather go and do it like I used to do it. Because when I went back in the studio, they don't use the tapes no more. You got to go on Pro Tools, looking at all this. I'm just old school, Steve.
Yeah.
I know you're telling the truth, but I just rather for somebody to give me a call.
Yeah. Just show up and sing. Yeah. So.
And Johnny, you done did something.
What?
I've been eating so much. Girl, look here. My stomach. You shouldn't do that. You should. The last 3 years, I was weighing 160 to 70 pounds. Now my belly. Boy, I tell you the truth.
Then my job is done. My work here is done.
Now, wait a minute, Marla. Are you going to go on stage to perform music or to do comedy? Because you could do either one.
No, I ain't no comedy man, but I like to have fun. I'm like this all the time.
Well, let me tell you, Marlo, guess what we're going to have when we get home tonight? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How about some biscuits? My grandma used to call them, my mama Sue used to call them cathead biscuits. Do you know what a cathead biscuit is? That's a big old biscuit. And some gravy, and maybe some little sausage on the side, and some fried eggs. Does that sound good?
I'm getting so hungry I may not make it till we get home.
Turkey sausage, I cooked me 3 eggs.
Oh, yes.
And it's all your fault. I didn't eat like that. Like, you get to talking, what we have. So there you go.
Yes,
I can't quit.
I told you, my work here is done, honestly.
It's done.
Yes. Well, I am tickled to talk to somebody from West Tennessee, because that's our, like my mama used to always say, West Tennessee, we don't have no mountains. We're flatlanders, right?
It sure is. Yes. You know it.
Oh. Absolutely.
Do you ever come home?
That's too much, Marlo.
It's been a while since we've been back to Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And in Jackson, of course, that's where Carl Perkins comes from.
Sure.
From Jackson,
Carl
Tennessee.
Carl Perkins and Tutal Jones.
Yes.
Gil Scott-Heron, Big Maybell, Luther Ingram.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of folks probably from Jackson.
You're right. And Marlo and his music. Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to get back out there one more time. Like I said, I took care of my brother, so I'm getting it. Steve, I'm old school, man. It's just where it is.
Well, you hang in there.
Let's call me. We work somehow.
You hang in there. Hang on for just a second, because Jonathan's going to get some info off the air, and we're going to get you an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
But you got to send us a picture of you wearing the T-shirt and playing your saxophone.
Yes. It's a pleasure to meet you, Marlo. Thank you. We're up against the clock.
What a cool guy.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. From Jackson, Tennessee. Yeah, going to Jackson, right?
Yeah. Now you've got that song going through my head. But I've got two versions going through my head. One is the one that Johnny and June did.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash and June Carter. The other one was Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood,
which I
believe was the first version, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was. I love that one, too.
You know, that's a great album, and I'm trying to think of the name of the album. But it was the album that Nancy Sinatra and Liesel. See, I'm running out of the good words.
Just talking shorthand.
Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, who was the guy that produced Wayne Eddy, but they did this wonderful album. Oh, and it had that other song, something I'll tell you about, Phaedra.
Yeah.
And,
gosh. Oh,
we're going to have to dig that up and play some next week.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time.
We are.
So, wow, this has been a fast 5 hours.
Yes. Thank you all. Again, you can get the blog. Will give you information on the show notes tonight and all that good stuff. And our thanks to Big Plug Bob. He didn't run over my feet on the Zamboni.
Right.
He kept us on the air.
To Steve Teddy Ruxton for hanging out with us.
Dimitri in the newsroom. And Jonathan on the other side of the glass. And thank you guys for listening in. We'll be back here next week on WGN.